Hello.
Hello. 1 minute early. Look at
Hello.
that.
This is a new era.
A new era. In other words, you have to leave early, so you showed up a minute early.
That's right. I'll be ending 1 minute early. Listeners, just so you know, this episode will be ending 1 minute early.
Leave 1 minute
Apologize.
early.
Apologize. Yeah, I woke up early today.
In pain.
No, not in pain. Just 'cause I'm old and my body likes to wake up at the same time every day now.
What time is that?
7-ish.
Mine's 5:30. I don't
Ooh.
think I could go later than that. It's like guaranteed.
That's because you're a year older than me, so.
So pretty soon you'll be joining me.
I don't know. 5:30 is pretty darn early. I don't know if I can handle that.
Well, you go to bed early, earlier.
Yes.
I think I went to bed at 9:30 last night.
Woo! I went to bed at, I have no idea, 10:30, 11.
Wow, that's late. Well, I did that on Friday. We finished Ted Lasso, so I stayed
Huh?
up late.
You had to give up sleep for the lasso.
I did. It was good. I think it's over. I don't think there's any more to it. And if they do anything, it'll probably not be called Ted Lasso. It'll be a spin-off.
Spin-off. That's good. I'm almost considering not starting watching shows until they've finished, so that I'm guaranteed a full run. I'm sick of these shows watching one season or two and then it gets canceled.
I don't mind that.
I get no completion.
I'll watch a series regardless of whether it's canceled. I just watched Willow like that, and I knew it was canceled. 'Cause
Yeah.
usually shows do a good job. I would say 80% of them do a good job of like sort of having a beginning, a middle, end for the season, but then ending on some kind of, oh, we could
Cliffhanger,
continue,
yeah.
yeah. But in terms of story threads, they at least complete
Yeah.
okay.
I mean, I say that knowing full well I won't do it, and also knowing full well that some of my favorite shows only lasted one season, and I'll watch those seasons again,
The one that
even though
pissed
there's
me
only one
off, I mean,
season.
I could think one of my top of my head was the, I think it was called The Client List or something like that,
That
which
sounds familiar.
was the girl from, oh man, what is her name?
I'm
Rebecca,
thinking.
no, J Jennifer
Rebecca
Love
Romaine
Hewitt, Hewitt,
Stamos.
Hewitt.
Oh, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah, Jennifer Love Hewitt. She had like a prostitution ring within her massage parlor.
Oh, I remember you talking about
And I
this
think
one.
that went 2 seasons, maybe 3, and it just ended. Like it just ended. Like it didn't have it ended like on a, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen?
Yeah,
And it
it
just
didn't get renewed.
died on the vine. But it was, I don't regret watching it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. True.
So I don't have that disease like you, where I say, no, if it only lasts 6 episodes and it gets canceled, I'll even watch a pilot if it gets failed. I watched
Yeah.
the Aquaman pilot and it never
It's
saw the light of day.
not a disease. I think it's more just frustration that they keep canceling all my favorite shows.
Yeah, for good reason. Nobody else is watching them. It's not
Well,
making any money. It's all about money.
I know it is. Okay, my frustration is at humanity for being stupid and not watching the shows that are the best.
I went to go see The Flash and it's bombing at the box office, so there you go.
That's
I'll never
because
see another Flash again with this
it
guy.
stars a cult leader or whatever he is.
No, he's not.
What did he do?
He was supposedly kidnapped somebody. Well,
Oh, good kid.
he had some altercations when he was drunk at a bar, several. and that started it. And then
That's okay.
he took off with some, I think it was 16, underage
Well, underage girl.
girl. Don't know about like what was going on there, but she later claimed that she wasn't kidnapped or anything, and she came back. And so I don't know, but I don't really care. I went to go see it for Michael Keaton. I didn't go see it for him. I mean, I was excited to see The Flash, but because Flash is one of my favorite characters.
I mean, I'll watch it. The trailer looked really good, so.
Oh, I loved it. I couldn't believe some of the Easter eggs they threw in there, man. There's one in there I like almost passed out. I was like, man, only like 0.05 people are gonna get this, but that's
That was my next question, is are these
badass.
Easter eggs that other people are gonna enjoy, or just people who have been reading DC Comics for 50 years?
Well, I think some of them will enjoy it if they've watched and they're aware of DC and pop culture. And then some of it will enjoy it if they've seen documentaries of other things. Like, that's the small percentage. If they like know what could have been and didn't come to fruition, then
Oh, wow. They
they'll
dug deep.
know. And then they'll if they read Flashpoint, they'll like, I think, yes, they took pieces. You can't do like a Flashpoint movie. It'd be too expensive and too many actors that you'd have to pay. And but they if you look at a time slice of Flashpoint and you take like two of the three or three of the major little arc points that are in it, then you'll appreciate it. So yeah, if you're a fan of Flashpoint and then you're a fan of just DC's multiverse and stuff, I think you'll dig it. Liked it a lot. I want to go see it again at the theater. I'm glad I saw it at the theater because it was worth it.
Was planning on just watching it at home. Apparently, that is what other people are thinking as well.
Yeah, that's why I won't get to see all this good stuff again because of you assholes.
True.
Yep.
What's that other movie? There's some movie that's out that I want to see.
Transformers?
No, I haven't seen a Transformer movie in a long time.
Last one I saw was the Bumblebee one. That was really good. That was my favorite of the bunch. And
Oh
this
yeah,
one I want to see,
forgot
but
about that one.
I don't know if I'll get to it at the theaters. Because Indiana Jones already opens next week.
Ooh.
And now they got 5 more days, and then I'm on another vacation. So it's like, what?
You can see it on vacation.
No, I can't because of where I'm going, but.
Oh, that's right. You're doing the
Going to the mountains.
SpaceX journey. You're going to the mountains. You'll be offline, I believe it's called. What do I need? Oh, I need to go see the Spider-Man movie.
yeah, that was really good too. I didn't
That
want
I
to go
want
to
to see in
that.
the that I want to see in the theater.
I wouldn't have gone to the theater to see it if it wasn't for Barb. Barb's like, let's go to see Into the Spider-Verse or Across the Spider-Verse. And I'm like, huh, okay. But like, I was gonna wait for, because it was animated, I was typically gonna wait till it came out, but it was really good. I'm glad I
Yeah, I
saw it
think
at the
that's
theater.
visually, I think that's a good one to see in the theaters. Oh, I forgot the Transformers was the they got the Beast guys. What are they called?
Yeah, the Beast Wars or the characters from Beast Wars.
Yeah, Beast Wars creatures. They probably don't have Grimlock though.
Don't know, I haven't seen it. I think I've missed two of the I've seen all the Transformer movies but two.
Yeah, I don't even know how many there have been. They just seem to
Including the
come out every
latest.
couple of years.
I don't even know if it was successful or not. Like, I know the Spider-Man movie was successful. And Guardians of the Galaxy, in terms of superhero movies, but I don't know.
Super
There have been a lot of flops this year because of expectations. Like, oh, this is going to make 100 million, and it doesn't.
Yeah, and I think some of the ones that came out earlier, like once things started to return to normal, didn't do as good just because people were still hesitant to go out. But I think now we're at the point where most people have resumed their regular movie watching, theater going.
The people that are going to, I think
Yeah.
some people have such good setups. They're just waiting for the 4K release or the streaming of it.
Yeah, that is another output of this is that a lot of people have gotten used to watching movies on streaming and now are like, eh, why bother go to the movie? You can just watch it at home.
Yeah. They have the correct sound systems and stuff, so I guess the experience they want.
Got their 80-inch TVs.
Like you.
My TV is not 80 inches.
It's 19.
My dick is 80 inches, but not my TV.
That's so big, you have to wrap it up like a vacuum plug
Wrap
or
it around my
something.
body, or else I can't go through doorways.
So we're
Like a
doing a
fanny pack.
Heroes Con wrap up this time.
Yes, we are back from Heroes Con in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes, 2023.
Yes, and this is our return. I think the last one we went to was 2019. Is that correct?
Let's see, 2020 was the virus, 2021. 2022 was back. Yeah. So of those 3 years, there was only one convention we missed
Yeah, last year's.
because two were canceled.
And I believe I heard that last year's wasn't as well attended as
Don't
ones
know
in the
what the
past.
attendance was this year. It didn't look as packed as it's been in the past. Saturday was definitely the busiest, which is the usual busy day, but the other 2 days were, I don't know, they were just in terms of shopping, I'm saying they were pretty easy. Even in the lines, like to go see creators, they didn't even seem that long. They seemed
Yeah, there
very
weren't.
tolerable.
There were some that were a little long, but yeah, not like past years. So I would say, I don't know, maybe 75%.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I hope it did well. I hope they sold enough what do you call it? Art, whatever they do
Auction
to
pieces.
to make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was bigger. I don't know because it seemed like they expanded a
Well,
lot into
first,
that.
yeah.
You know how it's like L-shaped? It
Yeah.
seemed like they expanded a lot into that L piece.
Yeah,
Like there
in
were
past years,
creators
I
in there.
remember. Yeah, in the past year, I remember like Artist Alley and all the dealers. It went straight across, and then that side one was the side of the L was kind of more open, and they had like some video game stuff maybe and some cosplay stuff. But yeah, like you said, now that part of the L was. Yeah, not only Artist Alley continued that way, but there were also some celebs over that way too. Or not celebs, but
Well,
artists,
like Chris
bigger name
Claremont was over
artists.
there. There were some
Yeah.
big artists
And there were
over
some
there.
dealers. There were dealers over there too.
Yeah.
I'm
'Cause usually
wondering.
all they have is like that cosplay stage and the Scooby-Doo thing and
Scooby-Doo
some Star
van.
Wars stuff, but
Okay.
seemed like there was a lot of vendors over there and
Trash
creators.
compactor.
Yeah, I like the trash compactor. That was awesome.
That was one of my
There
good
wasn't as
childhood
much
memories.
cosplay. I mean, I took a few pictures of some, like that storm was gorgeous. Holy crap.
I saw her on the street.
Yeah. Apocalypse. I saw a great
Yeah, Apocalypse was really
Apocalypse.
good, yeah.
I saw a couple of really good ones. I saw an Airboy Valkyrie. That's very obscure. Like I'm sure a lot of people didn't know what that was.
I did not know who that was.
Even though Dave Stevens drew one drew her before. I guess if you're a Dave Stevens fan, you would know who the Airboy Valkyrie is.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're right. I don't remember. And I didn't I assume they had the cosplay contest or whatever they usually have. Or sometimes they do like a group photo, but I didn't go. I honestly didn't even don't even know where the stage was where they would do something like that. Usually it's at the end of the L, but I
Oh,
guess
it was way back there, 'cause that's where I
we
got
just
to
didn't go
meet
far enough.
Andy Tom and Chris Marshall from the
Ah.
Collected Comics Library, and that's where we hung out. 'Cause there
I
was a
didn't.
lot of chairs and stuff, which I had a good time. I mean, Chris,
Oh,
I
I
mean,
know where that is.
Andy showed me where to get those superpowers, little
I
behind
totally
the
f
desk,
I forgot to go. I forgot to have you show me where they were because I totally forgot to get those.
Yeah, they were behind the desk at,
Missed out. The bootlegs.
yeah. So
Why don't
this
you
guy
explain what they are? Yeah.
created these. These are Kenner. Used to have mini comics with their toys, and they were small. Like, I think they're little. Well, they fit in a toy, so you can imagine how small they were. That these are actual size. But they're bound in like a trade paperback format, like a digest.
Actual
And
size, meaning the
like
size they were in the
Superman was
packages.
they're like 8 pages, if that, maybe 10 pages of comic. And he collected all of the ones that they had. So the first one collects 12, and which was volume one, and then the volume two had 11. And he said that there was stuff that he missed because, but they were anything that was published in America, he got.
Okay.
But there were some that were published overseas in Spain or something that he didn't get. So, yeah, that was a cool collection because I had thrown away, even though I kept the toys in there, I did,
You threw away the comic
I
books.
threw away the comics, like I threw away all my wizards and comic scenes, and I'm regretting it to this day. But now I save previews for God's sake. But I realized how valuable previews was because pretty soon I think the magazines are gonna be extinct,
The print
and they're
versions,
little
yeah.
snapshots of history is what they are, like what was available.
Yep, they are. What was, and in some cases, things that were going to be that never actually came out.
Yeah. So
Sad.
that was a really good pickup, and I got to hang out with Andy more so than Chris. Chris, I started listening to their podcast way late because, to be honest, I didn't give a shit about collected editions like until like 10 years ago. And that's when I started caring and realizing that these collected editions have as much value as the single issues, if not more. They go out of print and then you never see them again. And
And in some cases, they're printing material that you'd never be able to afford, or it would
yeah.
be ridiculous to have to pay for the issues. So there's a need for them, even if you prefer the single issues. What's going on over there? You're having a
Nothing.
party without me.
Barb was trying to get ready for Pilates, and I was just laughing because she's trying to get a sock on in a vertical position. This looked funny.
I think when you were talking to those guys, I think that's when I was
You
going
were
through
in. You were
the
in a
dollar
panel, I
bins.
thought.
Oh, it might have been the panel.
Let's see. You went to a panel. I think you went to an editor's panel, and
I
that's when I was
did.
talking to those guys.
Okay.
But I didn't know you had gone because we had split up. I think we were looking at comics and we got squirrels, and we're looking for two different things. I was looking for more expensive stuff, and you were looking into the $3 and the dollar bins. So I was venturing off
Yeah.
to other things. And I had been texting him. I had been texting him since, I guess, Friday. Friday, I didn't hook up with him. And then Andy, I must have given him my number some time ago, because he had my number, and not like through social media. He texted me and said, "Yeah, I'm here." And he texted me at the same time Barb did. So I immediately texted Barb and said, "I'm gonna go meet Andy real quick and Chris Marshall." And I went to go talk to them, and I guess I spent about half hour with them, like total. And then I met up with Andy again because he had bought some art from Jungle Comics. He bought the cover. I don't remember which one, but I can probably find it. And it was the best one too. Like there was an artist that did, I guess, four covers for Jungle Comics, and he had them of all available for very, in my opinion, very affordable prices. They were like 140 or 120. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, they varied. It was around
But
there.
the one that Andy got was
Well, some
like,
of them, a couple of them didn't have any backgrounds. It was just the main character, but a couple of them had had backgrounds and things.
well, his had everything. It looked like the full-blown background and
Yeah.
everything. Plus, it was the most detailed of the bunch. Let me see if I can find it. It was number 16. Yeah, it was the cover to 16, which has like a white ape, and then it has like a jungle girl in the foreground with a spear going to stab the ape. But it is awesome cover. I wonder why I didn't download. Oh, I don't have 17 yet. That's why I didn't download it. I might have. So, oh, he had, I think he had 15. Let's see, cover artist. The artist was Rich Stonky, because he did 14, 15, and 16, and I think he did one other. And he had all the covers available. If I didn't have to lug around, and I knew they had those top
My
loaders,
lawyers,
I call them hot flips. Everybody like, what the fuck's a hot flip? Well, now I know what a hot flip is. A hot flip is a brand of those. And hot flips, I call them hot flips because they used to have hot flip booths at the convention selling their. But Hot Flips sells bags, they sell boards, they sell everything. So I always call them Hot Flips, but Hot Flips is a brand. It's not what those things are, but it's a top loader of various sizes, like 11 by 17 or bigger, that you can put your posters in, your prints, your original art. And I didn't see them having any of them, so I didn't. I think I would have bought like a cover if I.
They did have one good one that I was tempted by. I did see later that it had been sold.
Oh, from this one? Did you go buy it back or what?
I just noticed when we had passed it by one time, it happened to be open on that page.
This guy I thought he had four, but maybe he didn't. Oh, he
He
had one. He
had
had
some
one.
others.
He had one that was unpublished. It hadn't come
Oh,
out
it hadn't come
yet.
out yet. That's right.
And I think it's issue 20. Yeah, it's issue 20. Let me see if I can see it. Yeah. And that was a nice one. That was a girl laying on a next to a tiger. But
That might have been the one that sold. I
yeah, I
don't remember.
I don't have many regrets. I think I bought everything. I would have liked to get like one Golden Age, and I would have liked to I think if I could go back in time, I would have gotten one piece of art, a cover, just because I like Jungle Comics so much. It's my favorite of the bunch. Like, I would rank them like Jungle Comics, Exciting Comics, Planet Comics, and then Horror Comics in that order for me personally. But I think Exciting Comics is truly the anthology that has like continuing series. Like, you can follow all of them. And then the horror ones are like shorts. And the planet ones are sometimes continuing because they have that epic
Well,
one. They have that epic story that guy's building that whole world. I forget what that is called, but
yeah,
that one's
Knights of
epic, but the
something.
other ones have been short. And
Yeah, and
then,
horror comics also does longer ones where they're like multi-issue
well,
stories.
they did that Dracula one that was fantastic, the Western. I
Yeah.
that was fucking my favorite, like by
It
far.
was amazing.
But there are a bunch of like European collections, I think, of short ones. But
Yeah, they do those, yeah.
I like them all, but Jungle's, well, I already have
Jungle's
a
always been good. Exciting's always good. I
yeah.
like them all, so.
I like them all, but I would have loved to
Thanks.
have a Jungle Girl co cover. So I think if I could go back, well, I probably did the right thing in terms of luggage. Like I was at,
Yeah, it would be hard to
I
transport it,
exceeded
not damaging
capacity.
it.
And even with a top loader, I don't know, it might have gotten a little bit damaged,
Yeah,
but
those are still bendable, so
yeah.
you might have to do what I did with my American Barbarian page that one year I bought
Carry it
at
on the
Heroes. I had
flight.
to carry it on the flight, but that's a double two up or whatever, so that was a huge page, so
Oh,
that was
that
not going to
was
fit in
big.
any any
And you
suitcase.
didn't buy top loaders either, I don't think.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so.
Yeah, it was a top loader, but yeah, it wouldn't fit in luggage, so I had to hold it the whole flight
And
and stare at it.
I ran across a beat
It's
up
worth it.
copy of Mysteries in Space featuring Space Ranger. And I think my first introduction to Space Ranger was Showcase 100, which features like it has like all the DC characters like the Creeper and stuff. It's an amazing cover. And I was like, this Space Ranger is cool. Like he just has like a yellow costume and kind of like a space helmet, but he's kind of like, in terms of their space characters that are not Hawkman, and he's right up there with next, like Adam Strange, I would say. Is being like the next popular one, and then maybe Space Caddy, but Cabby, but yeah, it's Space Caddy, a guy who drives in a space golf course.
That's our next,
That
yeah, next comic from Geek Bunch Comics,
would be awesome.
Space Caddy.
Space Caddy, he carries clubs in space to space golf tournaments.
All the planet to planet.
I've been watching Chips, like the old show with Ponch and John, because it's on this free service called Plex, and it
Sure.
has all the seasons now. And this was from 1977, so I hadn't watched a lot of these since then. I mean, I've caught some in syndication, but God, I love that show.
Yeah, I'm
And
surprised you haven't seen all of them.
I would just love to. Well, I probably have seen most of them. I think I saw all the Ponch and John ones. I think when John left the show, I kind of lost interest, but if I can watch them all, I'm gonna try to watch them all, and I like them a lot. Matter of fact, if I was filthy rich and I could take a loss, I would make a Chips comic because I think I could write them for as much as I love those characters. Like,
Yeah,
yeah,
you know them well enough.
I would know them well enough, and I know the formula of their adventures and stuff, and I would just enjoy it. And yeah, it'd be cool. I'd make a Chips comic for sure. But anyway, yeah, I had a option to get that, and I didn't. But and I there was one Wonder Woman Golden Age cover that was detached, but other than that, it looked like God, it looked phenomenal. And I guess those are the only regrets. I would have pulled the plug on those two, and then I probably would have got a Jungle Comics piece of art. I would have loved to have Andy's. Like, Andy scored. He got it.
The
Andy
best,
had
you
a
get the
great
best
time.
one.
It was his first time to Heroes Con, and
Oh, okay.
he said it was like he's been to the big shows, and he said this is great because it's all comics. Like,
Yeah, there's
it's
nothing
not
but
all like
comics.
toys, knickknacks, and celebrities and pop culture. It's just comics. And
And I
yeah,
don't even know, were there dealers who just that? There must have been dealers who just have toys.
I
But it
didn't
seemed
see
like,
that many.
yeah, it seemed like
I
even
saw
dealers that had toys had
they had
comics too.
comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually I see, you know what I didn't see a lot of this year, and maybe you did because we did separate a couple times, but I didn't see a lot of pop. In
Oh,
the
pop figures.
past we used to see like booths with just pops everywhere.
Yeah.
I didn't see that, and I didn't see like
Yeah.
a t-shirt booth.
No, there definitely was not a t-shirt booth. Is there
Yeah.
usually one? I can't remember if
There
Heroes
usually
usually
is
has
one
one.
because I buy like two t-shirts a year.
Yeah.
Because they have like some obscure characters like Commandy and other characters that I can't get elsewhere, you know. So like I'll buy two shirts for sure every year, and this year they didn't have that, and they didn't have a Cheerwine booth. That was
That's
awesome when they
true.
had
And they
that.
didn't have the TV station didn't have a booth where they're giving out
Yeah, the
free
CW.
t-shirts.
And that one I used to always love. I
CW.
used to go spin that thing multiple times a day.
Yeah,
And I usually
get
me or
t-shirt.
Barb or you or somebody would always win at something. I won a t-shirt a couple years ago. Barb won one.
I want a t-shirt.
Yeah, so like yeah, that was missing. And it's probably because the CW is cha it's sold. Somebody bought them, some syndicated station bought them,
Yeah.
and they're changing their. I think the only show that's left is Superman and Lois that even is continuing. They canceled the Gotham Knights show after one season, so they don't have anything
Don't have
left.
a lot to promote at a Comic-Con.
Yeah, because their identity's changing. They're
Yeah.
turning from like an original programming station more to a syndicated station.
Okay.
So
Hey, I would take some t-shirts from syndicated shows too, CW.
I would too.
Yeah.
Gilligan's Island or Good Times or any of those.
Dog and chips.
Yeah, Chips. Matter of fact, I think I'm gonna look for a Chips
Chip shirt.
shirt on Amazon. There's gotta be something.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm
Well,
sure.
one thing I noticed in episode 3 was Paunch. They never explained this, but it looks like a real motorcycle injury. They all of a sudden in one of the scenes they show his arm, and it looks like asphalt burn. You know, like if you had skidded
Yeah.
across an asphalt and you
Yeah.
had like huge scabs on your arm, but later on in the episode you don't see it. So it's like so weird. It's like they forgot to clean it up or it was there and then never explained like he fell or something. But yeah, this is I
Yeah, that's
like
strange.
Chips. I
I
like
wonder if in the
Chips.
four, did you watch the fourth episode? But you never know when they film these
I'm on the
things,
fourth
so.
episode, and well, they have a scene where he's in his underpants because John, they find a dog that was on the highway and was almost getting killed, and John wants to keep the dog, but he can't keep the dog, so he takes the dog over to Paunch, and then Paunch falls in love with the dog, and Paunch, John lives like in an apartment complex, and John lives, I mean, Paunch. John lives in an apartment complex that doesn't allow pets. Paunch
Punch.
lives in a trailer, like in a trailer park. So he took the dog over to John and he's in his underpants. He's just wearing boxers essentially. And he's watching the basketball game, and he's like, "Okay, you can come in." And the dog, he leaves the dog off with him, and he didn't have a scar on his arm there because he's like almost fully naked. But yeah, there's no it in that same episode. He has a huge scar, and I was like, "Where did that come from?"
Yeah.
But yeah, it looked like an actual stunt injury, or like if you fell off a bike and
Yeah, was sitting on the bike and
scraped your
fell off
arm
it.
on the asphalt.
That'd be interesting
It
to
looked bad because I know what
research
these
that.
things look like, not from asphalt because I haven't fell on asphalt a lot, but I have, as a basketball player, I have burned my legs in multiple places with what they call floor burns, because like you slide on the floor and the wood, the it's
Yeah, it's just
like
like,
it just like burns it, like
yeah.
it leaves like these huge scars. As a matter of fact, if you look at my knees carefully, you can still see where I had floor burns from basketball.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're all fucked up. But because we our coaches used to have floor burn drills, they used to roll the ball and say, "Dive, dive, motherfuckers!"
They want to build up the calluses
Yeah, they build
on
up
your
the
legs.
calluses. That's kind of what it was. It was torture. They wouldn't allow it in today's world. The abuse we took was crazy, but it was that was a thing of its time when you could get away with stuff like that. But anyway, let's kind of talk about day one. Well, day one was really Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday was not a co convention.
No, we got our tickets on Thursday, though.
Well, we got there Wednesday at like midnight, and it was an awful experience. And I did injure myself at the airport in the layover. We had a layover in Denver, so we're only an hour away. We flew into the airport, but we had a late start because the plane was had too much weight. So instead of the guy like driving around the airport or circling around or trying to burn more fuel, he just stood there for a long time. He waited like 20 minutes, and then he started to burn fuel by just driving around. But that put us into a bind because then we would have 20 minutes between when we
That's
land
a
and
switch
get to the
point.
connecting flight, and we were 30 minutes away from the terminal because they were far apart from where we landed and where we needed to be. So I already thought, like, fuck, we're gonna miss our flight. I even posted on social media. There's no way we can make it in 5 minutes because,
Yeah, you posted that you missed your flight,
yeah,
so you're not going to be
and
getting in until
I
Thursday.
wasn't gonna run, but we ended up sort of speed walking, I guess you could say. But we did end up catching it, which was nothing short of miraculous. But why we caught it is they were late boarding. Like extremely late. They were like 40 minutes late from
Yeah.
the actual boarding time. So usually when you have a layover, what you have to calculate is they close the doors 15 minutes prior to takeoff. At least they can. And typically they do. I've missed several flights because of the connecting flight landing and then not getting it. Even though the plane hasn't left, they close the plane
Yeah,
door
they closed the
15
gate.
minutes.
Yeah.
And you can't get in once the plane door is closed. You're done. But yeah, we got there really late and then got to the hotel and found out that we weren't going to have water in the morning. And Barb was like angry as hell because he's like, they didn't tell us that they were doing construction. Like, our hotel that we usually stay at, a couple things had changed. They're doing construction and they were like reconstructing whole floors. So our floor was just done. It was our air conditioner was leaking for a couple days, and leaking water next to where Bill slept. But
It was.
it wasn't. This hotel was under construction. We didn't lose water like we thought we were the whole trip, so that was nice. But one thing we did lose that was like a huge benefit was it had a shuttle. Like it would shuttle us anywhere within 5 miles. So like if we wanted to go to a restaurant, we'd get our entire crew together, even though they weren't staying at the hotel, they'd come in under our name. We'd schedule the shuttle and then just go to the restaurants. So this time we had to either Uber it, train it, or walk it, or both, sometimes a combination of both. But on Thursday, me and Barb just sort of chilled most of the morning, and that's when she found out that her packages were not delivered, and she was like all upset. But I just relaxed pretty much until we had a dinner with Micah and Claire, and we met you and went to a Korean restaurant. That was my favorite place, personally. I don't know what your favorite eatery was, but that Korean barbecue for me was heaven. I had like a mozzarella, potato, corn dog, and some kind of chicken, honey chicken, and then some beef, Korean
Beef
beef
box.
box. Yeah, and it was freaking incredible.
Yeah, that place is good.
I'd go there again. That was my highlight of restaurants because a lot of the go-to restaurants that we usually go to, they weren't around or we didn't go to.
Think, yeah, like at least three or four of the ones we used to go to no longer exist.
Closed. Yeah, everything in the epicenter's gone except for like three places,
It
but
seems like a lot of the stuff downtown didn't survive after COVID or because of COVID.
Yeah, so that was Thursday. My highlight was that we took the train to
You
that
did our
Korean
first time
barbecue.
taking the train.
Yeah, first time. That was my favorite place that we ate, and that was the first the that was a place that we hadn't eaten before. I don't know what your what did you have there? You had like a tofu thing, right?
Yeah, I had a tofu bowl.
Yeah.
What was it? Tofu? I can't remember. A crispy tofu bowl.
Yeah.
It was good. It's like rice and I can't remember what vegetables were in there. It was good. Egg on top.
And then Friday, I think we said we're gonna go to the con about an hour, or not like right when it starts, so we could avoid
Yeah, we
any
went like a half
lines.
hour after it opened. Like, I think we left. I think it opened like at 11, and we went over at like 11:30.
Rewinding to Thursday, we did go to the con to get our badges and talk to Luke and Keith Cunningham. So we
Yeah, they
did
were
that.
setting up their tables. We got to look down at the floor. There was one interesting thing we saw. There was one booth where I think they must have just bought a bunch of new collections and they brought them in. And the on the Thursday before the show was even open, their booth was packed full of other dealers who were going through the boxes looking at the stuff,
Yeah, there was at least
pulling out
25
comics.
people in that at that
I think,
booth.
yeah, it seemed like every box there was someone looking through.
I would
Cherry
have loved
picking.
to be down there and push people out of the way and say, "No, I want that."
Yeah, and I did look at that booth later, and it looked like it was just like various random comics because they weren't in any order and different eras. And so I'm sure that they were finding a lot of cool stuff in there.
I didn't look at their booth because I looked at their wall and it looked picked. Like it, I mean, at least for what I was looking for.
Yeah, I didn't
Because
spend a lot of time
I
there.
kind of judge where I want to look based on what's on their wall.
Yeah.
So like
That's because you're looking for something specific, so
yeah, I
you need
was
to
looking
know that
for
they
a golden
have
age, so I was
that
kind of like
era.
looking for. That was another thing I ran across. I ran across like affordable for me Jungle Comics. Like I could have picked up like three Golden Age Jungle Comics for like $400, which was like $100 a pop, which to me was quite affordable. And I didn't pull the trigger on those either because I think on Friday I didn't buy much except for some $3 books, 'cause we were looking at that one vendor, and I said we went shopping first. I guess our strategy was to find the cheap obscure stuff on day one, and
Before
then
it
go
got picked
and then go
over.
to Artist Alley, because usually Artist Alley, that you know, they're
They're not gonna,
stocked.
yeah, they're not
They're
gonna
not gonna
run
run
out.
out of stuff.
Yeah, we
So
wanted to see if we could find some good stuff before other people got to it.
yeah.
And also just to figure out where stuff was, kind of like make notes of things we wanted to go back to later.
Yeah, and I took notes, but I forgot everything. And the one
Didn't.
place I wanted to shop didn't have books until like Sunday, which was very odd, but
Yeah.
the one thing I got that was really cool is I got $3 Spidey Super Stories at that one booth, and those were good pickups because they were all great condition. And if you ever shop for Spidey Super Stories, you're at least looking at $25 to $30 a pop, like just to find those. And
Those are
to get
the
them for
electric
three
company.
bucks, yeah, the Electric Company ones.
Yeah.
And I
I
got
wonder what I got there.
an Adventure Comics 379 for $3, which was cool. It was a Legion book. And also Action Comics 380, which I was already looking for some Action Comics. And I got a Superman 194. So I did pretty good there. And I got an Archie series, a number one, called More Seymour, which I had never heard of.
I didn't know you got a Seymour.
Yeah, Morse. It's called More Seymour, number one. I showed it to you. It's about the stinky guy.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I don't know if I realized or not that that was a Seymour book. I like Seymour
Yeah, got number
books.
one. I got a Willy and the
That was a
Chopper
nice one.
Bunch, number five.
I remember that.
I got some Phantoms from Charlton, which I don't have many. But Aparo did a lot of covers and art, and I picked those up. So yeah, I did pretty good in that $3 bin. I would have done more shopping, but man, I had this weird pain, which if I was standing in the same place, and I told Bill there if I this was an airport injury, because I think I was like sprinting, and I didn't put my backpack on both shoulders, so I had it over one shoulder, and all the weight was sort
You're
of
leaning to one
weighing me
side.
on one side, and that one side was just killing me. So during the con, if I stood in the same place for a long time, it hurt. Oh, the other thing I picked up was a 12-cent Bob Hope in VG for it's number 90 for $3. So that was a Those ones are always
Yeah,
great catches, because
for sure.
anytime you can find like a Bob Hope or any of those was like good stuff. So that was pretty much my day shopping, and you got a bunch more stuff than I did. Like a lot more stuff than
Yeah, I'm
I
trying
did
to
on
remember the
day one.
Friday. I think Friday was I found this one booth that did have a, it was a smaller booth, but they had a couple, they had about $5 boxes, and they had some good stuff hidden in there that I picked up, so I was quite happy about that one.
Yeah, you bought a lot more content.
I bought too many comics. I still don't know how I
I
got
didn't
all
even
that
think
comics
I
home.
didn't think you'd be able to get your stuff on your, 'cause you didn't have like luggage. You had two
I carry,
backpacks.
well, yeah, well, one's a car, yeah, it's a bag,
It's a
it's
bag, but it's carry-on luggage kind of thing.
yeah, it's a backpack and a bag. It's like a giant backpack kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, and somehow, like when I got home and put all my comics in a comic box, they pretty much fit in a short box. So I don't know how I managed to get a short box of comics in a backpack and a carry-on, but I did with my
I
clothes.
don't remember a lot of your highlights. I think there was a couple that I was like, I really want. And I think one was you had an Avatar book of something I'd never heard of. And I really, anytime I could pick
Yeah,
up an
which one was
Avatar,
that?
that's why I buy the issues when they show up in previews, is because I just want all of the Avatar, and you picked up one for like, I think it was like $3 or something like that, or $1 if not, if that. And then
Yeah, I'm trying to find it in
you
here.
picked up a Prophet Chromium, which I know I don't have. I have the issue,
Yeah,
but I don't
Prophet
have the
number one,
chrome. I don't have
Chromium,
the
yeah.
Chromium edition of a Steven Platt cover.
Yeah, I did not even know about that one. Yeah, I could not pass on a
Bill
Platt
picked up
Chromium
a
cover.
Femforce, and I just took it out of his hands and say, I'm gonna buy this.
Yeah, Mike stole my Phantom Force right out of my hand.
Well, any AC comics, I was like, that's
That
fine.
was at that other booth. Oh, I did get Last Shadowhawk 3D. I was very happy to find that.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Silent Rapture was the Avatar signed even.
Yeah, you got a couple of like, there was that weird one that you got that were signed too, but it was
Yeah, there's
like,
a
I
couple
don't know
of
what it
weird
was.
sign. Yeah, that was that. Yeah, that was the Friday one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few that I got that were signed. It was really weird. I did get A-Team number three.
You
I was
finished your
missing. I
collection
finished
on
my run
that.
of yeah, finished my run.
So
Just
Silent
curious.
Rapture only has two issues, so you
Oh,
could
did it?
finish
I think
that
it was
one.
supposed to have three issues. I think it says on the cover of three, but maybe it says
Yeah, it
of
was
two.
cut short then. It was Avatar from
Cut short.
1997.
I got a couple Lady Death and Belladonna issues.
Yeah, those were the Boundless ones,
Avatar.
right?
No Avatar.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, they're Avatar.
Wow. I guess I didn't see those. You had gotten so much, I think,
Oh, here's
the
another one.
sec.
Legends and Folklore, signed by three different people, including Michael Oeming.
Yeah. I don't
Yeah,
know if I
I do
saw
what I
that one.
always do, which is try and find weird stuff that I've never even heard of before, that only Kirk has heard of. Like MX Superhero.
MX Superhero. That one doesn't even show up in my database. Oh wait, MX. Let me see.
Just look up MX.
Something came up.
It's from Radical Comics.
That one should show up. I know what Radical is. My database froze on me there for a second. I need to reboot. Oh, it's called MX The Superhero Series. That's
Oh,
two
what is it?
issues.
Yeah, I got a full run then. One and two.
And I didn't have cover one, so I downloaded it just now. Yeah, that was the one I saw.
I didn't notice the cover of number two is a Todd Nock cover.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is cool. Oh, I see it in the left-hand corner. I can update my database because it doesn't have the. That's cool. I can update my database for that one and do a send. Send, submit new or corrected data. Because he's a big artist. Todd Nock.
Yeah.
He killed it on Stargirl and the Lost Children. Oh my God, it's so good. It's probably one of my favorite works of his. It's amazing. So many new characters he was drawing too. He drew a female. There's a descendant of the human bomb from the Freedom Fighters called Cherry Bomb. And it,
Really?
oh my God, I was like in heaven because Human Bomb is like one of my favorite
Yeah,
characters
I
of
know he
all time.
is. Yeah.
I just love that character. Ever since I picked up my Freedom Fighters on that spinner rack and saw him like just pull off his glove and save kids from getting from debris, just blowing stuff up. It seems like it would make it worse, but he just I've always been fascinated because he had to be in that suit or he would just blow up. And then like in later years by Palmiotti and Gray when he like blew up almost like a whole portion of Bloodhaven by like he took off his thumbnail and flicked it and it just went flying and it blew up like a good portion of Bloodhaven. He's a badass motherfucker. And he can't be touched. He can't ever like have any love or be held by anybody because and they made a character called Cherry Bomb, and I was like, oh, this is fucking awesome. Todd Knock, you killed it. Any other goodies that are worth
I don't remember
mentioning?
which ones were from the Friday boxes, but I ended up getting, I don't know how many comics I got from that one. Nice little stack.
I don't think I saw your third stack of books the from Sunday. I don't
Okay.
think I went through those. I think I was so enamored with my own stack on Sunday that I didn't care to look through your
You couldn't, yeah.
stack.
You're just in heaven looking, organizing your pile
Yeah,
into
I scored on
titles.
Sunday. I did. I went in with a
Well, should we?
goal of buying two books, maybe two books of Golden Age, and I didn't. I did get one or two Golden Age books, but most of them were Silver Age from the 60s. But
Yeah.
yeah, I scored big on Sunday because I even went into my database, and when I added them, I was like, wow, the value I got these books for was just insanely great. It was Aaron Meyer's great.
The deals you got,
Yeah,
yeah.
the deals I got. I think the guy that I bought from's name is Rich, but I would have to ask Campbell because
I think you're right.
they know me by name, but I don't know their names, and that's terrible. But him and his wife are at Tomorrow's Treasures. I know they're my favorite shopping ground because I love his strategy. His strategy it fits me perfectly because he only cares about high ticket items. So he goes to these cons for two reasons, to buy and to sell. And he buys large collections so he could get these great books and encase them and then sell the CGCs for like, five digits or four digits. And then take some of the Silver Age stuff. He doesn't like books that are like VG to fine. Like he just doesn't. So he gets rid of them at crazy prices. So you're talking about Silver Age books at 10 bucks a pop. And I picked up a shit ton of Superman like for that
Yeah,
were
well, he
12
has that tier,
cents.
and then he has even a lower tier of the junk that he just puts on a table for like, I think it's like $3 each or something.
Yeah, he has like a $3 tier, and I was like, I was talking to I Bill was at a panel, and I lost track of Bill, and mostly because this guy was talking to me like a long time. We talked for like 35 minutes about conventions and what he thinks of them, and he's like, what drives the dollar and why he goes to certain places, and he's like, Heroes is the best because it's like people come for comics. They know what they're coming for, whereas you go to another con and they're there to see William Shatner. Or he says those still have some people that will drop a lot of money. He said like he still tables at San Diego, but like he won't go to Baltimore because it's so dangerous. And I see where he's coming from because you cross a line and it's like it's so weird. It's like you have one side near the bay or whatever you want to call it, near the water, that is just like clean. And
Yeah, the tourist area.
if you walk north south, you're like perfectly fine. But if you go west, it's like holy shit. You don't want to be there because there's like it just looks dangerous. So he was talking how he stopped doing that, and he said that convention they also would not, you know how they protect your books at night so you don't have to, they have security and stuff, and he said there was so many thefts. So he was like, I don't want to ever go there again.
Yeah,
But
that's understandable.
in terms of a fan, like I told him, Baltimore was in structure is very similar to Heroes, and that's why I get lost to it. It has a huge artist alley, it has a huge set of comic book vendors that you can buy from. And yes, they have more celebrities, so they have like a celebrity area, but there's only like 10 big names or something like that. There's not like a lot. It's not like Denver Comic Con or San Diego.
Yeah.
But yeah, we talked about cons and he's like how to get people in the door and he says, "Yeah, this one he dislikes a lot." And I was like, "Yeah, I agree." I said, "That's why I don't go to Denver Con anymore." And I said they ever since my friends, I had friends that started it. So like I knew them and they sold like within the second year. So they established like this big con and it was so successful that they were able to sell it and make a huge profit. It's kind of like what most people love to do in business is do a startup and then sell it for millions and that you've achieved everything you ever wanted because you made millions of dollars. But yeah, I haven't been to Denver in a while. On
Yeah,
Saturday, well,
I'm going
anything you want to
to
mention on S Friday? Well, we saw Alan for sure. We met up with Alan because he had a
Yeah,
booth.
we got to talk to all of our friends who have tables, hang out with them a bit. And then I don't remember if we went to any panels on.
The
Was
romance
that
one, wasn't it?
one on Friday?
Oh no, that was on
Events?
Saturday.
Well, let's see. Events? Oh, I have to look at my phone too. I have it on my phone. Maybe that's an easier way of doing it. Hey, where's my phone? Oh, there it is. If I'm looking. Don't remember if there was just ones we wanted to go to or.
I think we had an intent to go to one of them and we didn't go.
Oh, it was the romance. Yeah, it was the romance on
Was it
5
Friday?
o'clock on Friday. Yeah,
Oh,
5 o'clock on Friday.
this was good though. This is my
Was the end
favorite
of the
panel.
day. Yeah.
This is my favorite panel. It was by far.
Yeah, it was a good one.
It had a lot of juicy moments and then it had an accident moment.
Yeah, so this was the Love and Staples Romance in the Comics with Michelle Noland and Susan Loeb. So Michelle Noland is a author. I have two of her books, the Archie Rivals and Teen Comics and the Romance American History of American Romance Comics, or her two of her books. And then Susan Loeb, who was the what do you call it, like the columnist, gossip columnist.
She worked in the I'll say she worked in the Marvel bullpen in the 70s, and this is when romance comics weren't as big. The romance comics were big in the 50s and sixties,
Yeah, it was when they were
and
coming out.
Marvel only had two romance comics at the time, and she was
I guess
the
it's an
aunt. She was the
advice
dear,
columnist,
yeah.
too.
She was the Dear Abby, if you will.
Yeah, Susan says.
Yeah,
So she would answer the
she was.
questions people had.
Amazing. Like I love me like when I we went to the panel and I met like the granddaughters of Wonder Woman and one of the creators of Batman and I just love shit like this. And I
It
think
seems like
these
every hero's like you meet someone.
Yeah, and I met yeah, I took a picture with her. She gave me a signed photo and like
Yeah, she was really nice.
she was just like super enthusiastic. Like I loved her. And I love the other woman too because I love like historians and she was able to like say
Yeah, she knows a lot about.
like she knew all the publishers and like
Yeah.
which ones were notorious for
Yeah, that was it.
certain
That was
things.
one of the most interesting things because she was talking. Yeah, she was talking about how kind of the attitude of the different publishers towards romance comics and kind of this the approach they took to romance comics. Like some were more from like a male perspective, some were more from a female perspective, but each publisher had their own kind of way of telling the stories, which was fascinating.
Yeah, I learned that Harvey Comics was the worst, so I almost want to track one down and just experience what she's talking about.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even, I personally didn't know, like, most of my romance comics are Marvel, DC, or Charlton. I have some from some obscure publishers, but I know I don't have any from Harvey.
Yeah.
Most of mine are from DC, just because I've notoriously want to pick up any DCs I can grab. But I have a few Marvel, and then most of them, there's a good portion that are just Charlton. I love Charlton. I want to learn more. I took the Tomorrow's Charlton book with me, but I didn't get to read much. I read it on the plane getting
Yeah,
there,
I need to
but
pick that one up for
I didn't
sure.
get to read all of it. But that panel had an interesting segment in there. Susan, was her name Susan?
Yeah, Susan.
She had a book that was in Spanish.
Right.
And the question came up, well, is it from Spain or is it from Mexico? And because she had the expert there and she spoke Spanish, she could tell you where it was from. But she said, I am so terrified to open this and damage it.
Like she said, I haven't opened it.
Yeah,
It
so
was
the
given
mo
to her from someone gave it to her,
Yeah, somebody
like
gave
gifted
it
it
to
to
her
her.
and she was scared to open it because she didn't want to damage it. And the moderator said, "Oh, I can do it. I've done this many a times."
I worked at comic stores
Yeah, I could I think this
20
guy I
years.
think that guy works at Heroes. I think he's a Sheldon guy.
I think he is an
Just
old-time
based
Heroes
he had a
guy.
couple of tidbits that he mentioned there about signings and stuff. He
Yeah.
had said some stuff that I said, "Oh, he works at Heroes."
Yeah, I believe you're right.
He's an older guy, and he was a good moderator. I thought he was a great
No, he is
moderator
very good. Yeah,
for
he asked some good
this panel.
questions.
He was excellent as a moderator. But he takes this bag and there's tape on it. There's two
Yes.
pieces of tape. The two-piece tape is the worst. And this I know this from experience. That's why I one-piece tape it. But the two-piece
Yeah,
tape, you have
Mike 1P, you do it horizontally, right?
I do it horizontally, yeah. And I break the tape most of the time because I buy breakable tape. So like if I open it again, it breaks the tape and then I just retape it.
Retape
But these tapes were done vertically and they were both there was one on one side, one on one side. The benefit of taping that way is that it keeps that flap very, very straight. Like the flap doesn't like have
It doesn't
creases. It
bend
keeps it
up.
very flat. It seals it probably the best. But the downside to that is when you pull out a book, that's why they say to
Yeah,
use
you got
painter's
to be
tape.
careful, yeah.
They say use painter's tape, but you have to be extremely careful. Well, guess what this guy did?
Well, you got to. So he opens it, and he takes the tape off, and he's very carefully, opens the flap and bends it back. And then he sits and looks at it for a second, contemplating whether to take the tape off. Decides against it,
And
starts to
that was a bad
slowly
decision.
slide, and then we're like,
That was a
uh-oh,
bad decision.
slowly slides the book out.
Because then it became
And
like,
he was holding the flap with his hand, right? And he
yeah.
starts sliding the book out, and
And
then,
the tape
oop, it
came
slips from
down.
his, it
We could not
slips.
see it,
His
but
hand
you.
slips, the flap closes right on the book.
And we were like looking at it, and everybody in the
The audience
audience,
gasped.
you could just feel like this gasp and like, and it was like, oh my God. And I heard Susan say, "Oh, it's okay." You
Yeah,
know, like
trying to make him feel better.
and he goes, "No, I can fix this. I can fix this." And I think he did it with the least amount of damage, but he got the book out. And
You
then but this
got
time when he did it, he took the tape off entirely.
to put it back in. Yeah.
After he had done the damage of one piece of tape, I think he had taken the other one
Oh, he took
off.
it off. Yeah.
And she opened it and she determined it was from Mexico. So like it was redistributed and done in Spanish in Mexico.
Right.
But anyway, that was like a crazy one because you could just feel all the tension.
And
And
everyone in the audience was just watching him do it
well,
too.
even the expert, what was her name, Michelle?
Yeah, Michelle.
Even Michelle did the, I don't know if you saw her expression, but when the tape came down, you could just see all of them like knew what just happened. And it was just like, oh my God, this what it was like the worst thing that could happen, like to a collector of
Yes.
comics,
Oh, yeah,
the
opening a rare
tape
comic on the stage and not.
damage is the worst. Like you never, okay, let me tell you this. I'll tell you a lesson for people that are buying expensive books. If they hand you a book to look at and you want to look at the inside to make sure they're white pages versus yellow or
A
they don't
checkered
have any
cover.
like stains on them or whatever, you have them do it. You do not take a book in three figures or even two digits, in my opinion, and open it
Pull it
yourself.
out, yeah.
You tell them, and they will. You tell them, can you please show me the pages? You do not do that because if you damage the book, you buy it, and you don't want to ever get that tape thing to happen.
Because then you're buying an even more
I
damage.
have 90,000 plus comics, 92 to be exact, and I have only done it twice in my lifetime, and it's because I buy the breakable tape and the way I tape it. So like when I open, especially with Mylar, like I don't know what it would do with polypropylene. I think my tape would stick.
Oh, if it would break, yeah.
Because of the nature of Mylar, and I Mylar everything now, I think it just tears like across. Like it just naturally does that, and I like it that way because I
Yeah.
don't ever, when I reopen a book, I don't ever have to worry about the tape. And I've heard great stories about painter's tape, but I haven't went that route yet.
Yeah, I haven't either. It looks weird to me. But I suppose I mean I understand the logic.
Susan did say something that was interesting about combining letters and stuff
Yeah, that
and
was
not
very
using the
fascinating,
names.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she said that they used to get so many letters in from kids or whatever, young women asking questions that and men as well. That and she didn't want to like some of them were like pretty emotional, heart-wrenching stories that people had interesting, questions about their lives. So she couldn't like she didn't want to out people and print the well, for sure she couldn't use names because she didn't want to make anyone identifiable. But they used to get questions were very similar, so they used to just like if they got five letters about, should I get back together with my boyfriend or whatever, she would just combine them into one letter and make up a
Yeah.
fake name on it. So the content was what people were actually sending in, but she just combined to
The
make it more universal.
other point I wanted to make about that was Michelle pointed out that up until Susan, men responded to those letters.
Right.
So either the editors or the writers, like Stan Lee or, Stan Lee didn't want to do it anymore. That's why he gave Susan the job. The interesting thing is they, as two women, they both had good experiences with Stan Lee. Like they said they were treated really well.
Yeah.
And I think they even mentioned John Buscema in that panel, which had just recently, no, not John, John
John
Romita,
Romita. Yeah, they're talking
because
about
he just
John Romita.
passed.
Yeah.
And they were saying he was incredible to work with and one of the nicest guys.
I
And
did.
he,
Yeah, go ahead.
well, he had given advice to Susan. He's like, don't ever get fat or something like that,
Oh, that was
which was
some
a
marriage advice, yeah.
marriage advice. Yeah.
One piece of advice for a successful marriage, don't get fat.
And then they immediately came back and said, well, John didn't get stay skinny either. He got really fat.
Didn't take his own advice.
Yeah, he didn't take his own advice.
Was gonna say I did really like one of the things I liked about hearing Susan talk is she worked at Marvel when it was really small, and she kind of described like the office that she worked in. She was just in the main bullpen area, and she said there was Stan had his office separated.
Yeah, she had worked in a
Because she
bullpen
was like, was
environment.
she like an editor at first, or what was she doing
Yeah,
before she?
she had her college degree and she would do editing, and she one thing she said it was like she didn't run like get me coffee and that kind of stuff. She did real work. And she moved she would like give art to move it from the inker to the penciler and all kinds of different stuff she'd do. But
Yeah.
yeah, it was pretty interesting. Yeah, I liked that panel a lot. That was the standout panel for me. And I went to some good ones. That was the one that every year there's a panel that stands out, or sometimes two. Like the Sergio one was fucking amazing. Like
That
I
was
was almost in
great. That was
tears in that one.
great.
That was one of the best ones.
For sure.
I also really enjoyed like the George Perez Marv Wolfman one. I can't remember where that was in C2E2, I think. I don't remember. And
Jim Shooter one was
the Jim
good.
Shoot any G God, I was disappointed that Jim
I
Shooter didn't do
know. I'm still upset that he didn't have a panel.
He's probably like, fuck these guys, they fucked up once, I don't want to overdo it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a great panel. That was Friday. The other great thing on Friday that I didn't plan on doing, but I think we scored big, was we ran across Eric Klaus and I think his wife at their booth.
Was that on Friday? Yeah, it must have
Yeah, it was
been.
Friday.
Yeah.
That was like kind of our first score. It was really our first time talking to anybody in Artist Alley, I think. At least for
Yeah.
me, I other than our friends, like, and other than the people that we always meet and talk to,
Yeah.
and I didn't even know he was there. Like it was one of those things, and it's like ninjas and robots. I love his art. Like
Yeah, we've talked
I'm
about him many
mesmerized
times on the show.
about his art, and I find it weird that Bill got into it because to me it looks like Mafut. And to you it doesn't,
To me, it
or it
doesn't.
looks look. I think it comes from the same school of
It's, yeah, it's similar. It's, well, Mafu does
style, maybe
a style
style, but not
similar to
look
that,
at it.
but he does other things as well. Like, he's more varied, I think.
Oh well, yeah. When he does the small panels, I'm not crazy. But when he did that one, the girls with socks, like I can't remember what it was, the magic socks or like what is the title of that thing? That
Yeah, I know what
that's
you're
the
talking
one.
about.
I'll see if I can search for magic socks.
I don't think it's Magic Socks.
Girl Scouts magic socks. Yep,
I guess
I
it
knew.
is.
I knew I
The
couldn't remember the.
Girl Scouts
I
part.
couldn't remember the Girl Scouts Pat, but I remembered what the story premise was about the magic socks.
Yeah.
But like you could see like in this image book from 2017, there's very similar styles, but. We were there at least half an hour, at least, if not more. But we
Oh,
talked to
that's
him
yeah,
for a
we can explain why
while.
we're there.
Yeah, we talked to him for a while, and originally I just picked up. I said, "Could I get your dynamite?" Because this was a store exclusive, which I wouldn't have went to a store to get a exclusive. I wanted a
Exclusive covers, yeah.
Samurai Sonia, and he said there were $20 each. So I was like. Well, I'll take one because, $40 for two comics is quite a bit of a
Yeah.
drop.
Yeah, so you just wanted the one that
And
was
I just
store
wanted the
exclusive
one that
or
struck me the most. And the other one was a cover for a Keen Spot that he had just done the cover for. He didn't do the interiors. And that was a store exclusive that I was going to put back because I was like, okay, I'll drop $20 in cash right now and get that.
yeah.
And then Bill, at the time that I was doing that, Bill was looking at the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive thing on the.
Yeah, he had this book on. It was like behind the scenes of making issue 13.
Yeah, and
So I was flipping through that.
you were looking at that more so than I was. Like you were
Yeah, it
like
was.
this is pretty cool. And they were like numbered, and there
Yeah,
was
there's.
only a limited number of them.
Yeah, like 20, I think. I guess I can
Yeah.
look. I have it right
So
here.
they were from the previous year at San Diego Comic Con, and now he was selling the remainder that he
Yeah, he
didn't
had
sell.
two copies left.
Yeah. So, yeah, I bought that, and we were talking about, I was talking about him, and Bill was, and we were just like, we love this art style. We just
Yeah.
really dig it. And he threw in the other book. So the book that I wasn't gonna get, he threw in for $20 and signed both of them, and I'm like,
Yeah,
this is pretty
he signed the
badass.
second one, and I think his wife was like, he just wanted one of them, and he's like, hey, he can have both of them.
Yeah. So then then the thing came up and I started thinking, I was like, you know, I like to get, I really like to get people that I like their first work. So I asked him the
Yes, you know.
question. I said, you know, I'd like to know what your first work was because I'd like to seek it out if it isn't this, you know, ninjas and robots. And he said, it is ninjas and robots, but it was a Kickstarter. And I have some of them. And we were like, oh shit. So like
He opens his box,
he
his
opens
magic
this
box.
box and he pulls out a copy, and I was like, I want one. And then Bill immediately said, I do too. And then he said, I'm gonna do a sketch for you guys inside. And we're like, oh shit. And it's like a full figure sketch. It's
Oh,
not just
yeah,
a
we
head
asked how much it
sketch.
was, and he said, and it comes with a sketch. We're like, what?
Yeah, we're
Yep,
like,
I'll
hell
take one.
yeah, fuck yeah. And so we both said that, and then we said, you know what, we'll take these San Diego Comic-Con things too. So we cleared house that day, and we
Yeah, we
talked a
did.
lot about like how he had conversations with Kevin Eastman
Yeah,
and
well, because then
stuff
we were
like
there for
that.
a while
Yeah,
because
because he
then he
was
had to do the
signing everything
sketches,
and letting
so.
it draw. And we got s these sketches are awesome. Like, they are so
Yeah,
awesome.
he did the two main female characters for
It
us.
was a really good like experience, I think. And I think he could see the enthusiasm we had for his work, that, you know,
Yeah,
he
it was
was
a good conversation,
giving
yeah.
us these crazy deals because we were pretty excited. We were like, oh, this is awesome, you know.
Yeah.
But that was a good Friday highlight for me. Like, I
Yeah,
thought it was fantastic.
he was fun to talk to. And him and his wife were fun to talk to.
Yeah. And I did buy a sketch, but I didn't get it the next day on Friday from Alan, because Alan had these covers, blank cover designs of Power Principle. And I had him draw one of his characters on the cover. And he didn't want to give it to me on day one because he didn't have a white
They're white
tool
out.
marker to draw the stars on her costume. So I picked that up the next day, but Barb was at that Alan's table the whole day on Friday, I think. I don't think she moved one
Yeah,
bit.
because I had extra seats, so.
Yeah, he had an extra seat there, which was kind of nice. And that's oh, on day one I also bought God dang, what is this? I also bought Shark of War. Okay, so
Oh,
this
right.
guy had an extravagant shark display, and I love sharks, so I was like, I really want to see what this guy has. So I told Bill, let's just walk over there. Well, Bill started looking at the comic. You know, he was looking at issue one, and I was like, oh God, it's computer generated art. And I personally don't like it. So I was thinking about like, oh, should I get it? And I was like, I'm here. I feel obligated. It's sharks. I'm gonna get it. I was so glad I got it because even though the art is very like, he even credits like where he stole the art from. Like, he got permission to use some certain images,
Okay.
and then he like just adapted it into a comic, which is admirable. It's hugely like, I admire
Oh,
it
the
at this at the
crediting, yeah.
I admired it at the same time as much as I hate it. And I admire it because I can't draw worth the fuck. So like, he told a very good story by using images and stuff, and I was like, oh, this comic, like, I read it when I came home and I was like, it is really good. Like, it is really good. I liked it a lot, and I love sharks. So this is about like a cybernetic shark. Two doctors make it up. Like, it's like RoboCop shark, and they make it up for war, like, so it can fight battles. But one of the
What's the do we
scientists,
say the name of the book?
it's Shark of War.
Okay, Shark of War.
Yeah, I think I entered it into my database so I could tell you who the creator is. I might not have, but yeah, I did enter it in my database because I read it. It's by Ben Lacey. So his name is Ben Lacey. Sounds like he's an engineer because I went to his website. I found out more about this guy. So he's like an engineer like me and Bill, and he wanted to make comics. And I'm like, except he was braver than me. He said, I'm going to make the entire comic myself. And I know I can't draw, So I'm
But I
going to
know, but I
use
know how to use
I
computers.
know how to use computers. So I'm going to do this, and he kickstarted it, and I guess he was successful because he has 6 issues out. So yeah, and I was impressed with his display, and he was very dedicated. He was wearing a shark hat.
Yes, he was.
he had shark toys, like stuffed animals on display. But I was hesitant to go all in. Like I
Yeah, you want to check it out.
old Mike would have said, "You know, I like sharks. I'm going to buy the 6 issues of the sharks." You asked him an interesting character question though, like which I wouldn't have asked him, but or thought to ask him. But you said, "I heard you say that you didn't draw all of them. Why did you stop or do the art for all of them?"
Yeah.
And he goes, "I wanted to tell a story. I didn't want to do the art. It's so much work." And I was like, "That's so interesting because that's kind of like how I want to do comics. Like I want to tell a story, but I don't want to do the art." But
Yeah, and it's interesting on his, he said on the latest issue he got an artist, so the art is,
yeah, and
so it's
I think he
new issue,
knew.
it's traditional art.
Yeah, and I did look at it, and I bought the Cthulhu one for that same reason. So, once I got back home, I went to his website and I bought everything that he had. Like, I didn't buy the variant covers. I was tempted, but I was like, I really want to see this story because it's really a good story. These two women, well, one woman scientist and one man scientist, they create this thing for military use.
I'm gonna go grab some water while you're
Well, you know what?
telling
Let's
us.
take a break right now and then I'll come back because I gotta pee. All right. I'll be
I'll
back.
tell this talk of water and
And you go
sharks.
get water or cheer wine and we'll both come back in a couple minutes. All right. Bye. Okay, I'm back. So I'm gonna talk Shark of War. The oh, you're back too?
I'm eating.
All right, so there's two scientists. They create this shark. They send it on missions. The first mission is to go take out like a drug dealer, that's on the coastline bringing in drugs into America. And then you meet one of the major villains. It's he basically destroys this entire ship. And they were involved in drugs and human trafficking. So there's this little boy that's on the ship, and the shark saves him. It's like a robotic response. It's like, just let the boy die, just let the boy die. And then it like does some calculations and says, no, this boy's probably innocent. Saves the boy, but destroys everybody else. Leaves one of the villains' sisters alive, and she's like the major villain of the story. We cut to the future. You learn that one of the scientists wanted to keep the normal part of the brain in the shark so it could like make its own decisions or have judgment calls instead of it being 100% robot. And the once female scientist ends up killing the other scientist and then siding with the bad person for money. So it's like it goes crazy, and now the shark is there on its own. And the major villain is one of the scientists that created it. And it's really a cool, like, it's really written really well. And I'm like, oh God, I love sharks and I just love this premise. And I went to his website and I purchased all of them. And then he had a new Kickstarter out. So I immediately subscribed to that Kickstarter as well. So,
What's the new Kickstarter?
you would ask that question.
Not a shark book.
Not a shark book. It's a sexy woman book. I forget what it is. And then I'd have to go through all my sexy women posts
That's okay.
to
People
see
could
it.
find it.
But yeah, it's he made some good sales because I enjoyed his comic book. So
Yeah.
I went out and I would like to do something more for the other guy that I really like. Well, there's two. There's two books. The guy who has Rubber Wolf stuff, I like fell in love with his stuff.
Yeah,
And
I looked at Rubber Wolf's website and I was like, maybe I should just order all this
yeah,
stuff.
Tony Farrow. And this stuff I was attracted to on Friday, and I said, Bill, we should go over there, and we didn't go back over there until Sunday. But on Friday we did, Bill grabbed a free comic book day, like little pamphlet, like a mini comic. And Bill read it out loud on Twitter, and I was like, this is pretty badass. Like the
Yeah, we fell in
dialogue
love with it.
was insane. The art is very like Kirby outlet. The way Kirby does panels is the way this guy does panels. His
Very very Kirby
layouts, it's
influenced.
very Kirby influenced. And I was like, and then his like his display, like even at the thing, I like the colors he used. Like
Yeah.
there he does his own coloring, he does his own art, does everything. And I was like, I'm gonna go back to this guy's. So he was on my list for Sunday to just go check out his booth and buy something that was similar to what we saw in the
The
little
free
free
books,
comic
yeah.
book day that he had there as a sampler. And I'm glad that we picked up the sampler, and got to read it and see what it was like. So that was a good idea, 'cause he sold some stuff because of that.
Yeah, we might have missed it if not for that free sample.
And that guy was right across from Alan.
Yeah, next to him, or yeah, the island next to Alan's.
I want to rewind a little bit. So,
Yeah, so
there's
we
one.
finish Friday?
Yeah, but I want to go back to the romance panel because
I
we
forgot.
saw in that panel was David Levine, who I had met many years ago at a convention. He was the guy that was at Alan's table. He has a podcast called Dave Talks Comics, and he was at that panel taking notes at the romance panel.
He was.
So I immediately went to his podcast and downloaded it. But I was disappointed because he didn't really cover a lot. Like I thought he because he was taking a lot of notes.
He had notes.
He had like a whole page or two of notes that he would like go over it, but he basically did like really quick summaries of what he purchased, and that was it. And he's kind of like I went and looked at like how he recorded because I thought he pod faded, and he sort of did, and he just did like two episodes back to back for Heroes Con. So it was interesting because I listened to both of them, but
I'll have to
yeah,
check it
it
out.
wasn't like a lot of Heroes Con stuff, and he
Oh
talked a
goodness,
lot about
yeah.
the journey and what his goals were.
Before the Heroes ones, it looks like the last time he podcasted was 22. And here you have
Yeah.
three episodes,
Yeah,
22.
so like I thought he pod faded, or else I would have still stayed subscribing,
Yeah.
But because he's an interesting guy. I really like talking to him. I saw him at Alan's table talking, and I was like, God, I remember him like distinctively, but I couldn't remember his name. And sure enough, in the romance panel, the light bulb went on, and I was like, Dave Talks Comics, David Levine. I don't know if he says Levine or Levine, but I knew who it was, and I remembered his name in that panel. The light bulb
Yeah.
got the old man's brain to sort of work. So we did
Oh,
see him on Friday.
he didn't have any episodes in 2021.
Yeah, from what I gather is he does a blog, and that's what he keeps up to date, and the podcast is very infrequent.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. He shops a lot like you at a convention. Like he's not looking for expensive stuff, but he's looking for like DC and Marvel that are a buck that he wants to complete,
Yeah, finish complete
series.
runs and
Yeah.
stuff. Yeah.
So, I like the obscure stuff. Like I said, you had found some, and I probably would have come back with more if I hadn't experienced so much pain on. I had a lot of pain from that injury on Friday and Saturday, and I was fine when I was walking. So as long as I was moving, My legs, I didn't feel any pain whatsoever. It's when I like stopped and just stood there that that pain would come. And on Sunday it sort of dissipated, and by Monday it was gone. So I don't know what it was. I even told Barb, I said, this is the one of the weirdest injuries I've ever gotten,
You must have just
because
pulled something.
yeah, it was weird. It was like on my right side of my leg. It was so
Yeah.
bizarre. The pain was even bizarre. It felt like a cramp, but it felt like it just would heat up. Like it was bizarre. I hadn't experienced anything like it. But it eventually went away and everything was fine. And on Sunday, I did a lot of standing and shopping. So, yeah. Saturday, I know where we ate. No, was that Friday? Yeah, Friday we ate at the burger place, the Midnight Cafe.
Yes, the where they moved locations.
Yeah. And
This is actually closer now.
that was me, you, Micah, and Claire again. And Barb.
Yes, Barb
And that
joined
was
us.
good. They always have good burgers there. You didn't have a burger, you had a fish
I had a
thing.
fish fillet. It was good.
Yeah.
And it was funny because as people are getting food, or some people at our table were watching other people get food at their tables, and we ended up also someone ended up or Mike ordered some onion rings, so we got to try the onion rings. They're good. They're
Yeah.
super thick.
And I ordered banana pudding, so
Yes, and you got
I
the
had a
banana
lot of
pudding.
banana
Had a lot of cookies in
related desserts on
it.
this trip.
Banana pudding was very good. I got to taste it.
Yeah. And
Yeah,
then
that was good.
Saturday is the Vegas day for me. I don't remember a lot. I remember you went that. Oh, I know what happened on Saturday. Saturday, you went to the editor's panel.
That was late. I thought I went to what was the well, first was the I went to the auto bio panel.
Oh, so that's what happened on Saturday. We split up because I wanted to go see the sketch
Yeah, the
draw.
sketch off.
I
Yeah.
had found out, so I didn't know they were going to give raffle tickets away and do art. So what happened the morning of Saturday is I met up with Glenn Clark. He's a Superman fan that I met through HeroesCon. I met him and his family many, many years ago. And he had said he'd a Popeye comic book or a trade for me, and he knew I was really into Popeye. Like I like watching the cartoons and I like to read the comics, and he had gotten me, but he didn't have the Popeye one. He said, "You know what? I lost it." And he had gotten me like Archie Digest, Richie Rich Digest, Mad Magazine Digest
Yeah, I'll
that he
stick.
was getting rid of, and gave me a stack. So I met him. He was staying at the same hotel. I met with him on Saturday morning and we talked about Superman for, I don't know, about 20 minutes. And then he said what I had planned today. And I said, well, I'm going to go to the panel with Garcia Lopez and Alan Davis and Paul Pelletier. And I want to go see him sketch off because I had good experiences with sketch off panels and I like to see him. And he goes, do you know they're gonna give raffle tickets off? And I was like, no, I didn't. So I went to that panel. They gave away tickets and I sat next to
They like give you a ticket when you walked in or something?
no when you they gave tickets when you're already seated, so like they just
Okay.
started going by and handing off tickets.
Okay.
And I was sitting right next to Glenn, but I realized after I got my ticket that they weren't going to have two projectors. Like they originally had it set up with two
Two
projectors, but
screens.
they only had one overhead. So they
Ah.
were like, we can't,
They're going to show one
we
person
don't
at a
have, we
time.
don't have, nor do we have the equipment to reroute it to two screens.
Yeah.
So they only had the one cable to wire it to one screen, and they chose the one screen that was on the other side. So I had told Glenn, I said, I'm going to reposition myself so I can see them drawing because they would have the projector over one of the artists, and so I reposition myself, and the odd thing about it is the guy, Glenn won one of the sketches, and I was one number away, and then the guy next to me won another Garcia Lopez. So the two people I was sitting next to won Garcia Lopez sketches. The one next to me won a Wonder Woman Garcia Lopez, and Glenn
God.
won a Joker Garcia Lopez. So that was pretty awesome, but I was so close. I've never been that so close. And there was that panel was pretty full. Like it, most of the panels I went to
It
were
was a
pretty
big room,
empty,
yeah. There was a lot of
but there
people,
was a
yeah.
lot of people
It was a big
there
room.
because I think they wanted art. And so this panel had the three of them, and they would go around and they'd say, "Okay, we'll let the audience select the characters." And this wasn't like the one that I saw with Sergio and Jim Lee and those guys back in the day. This was they were very opinionated and would tell them, "No, I don't want to draw that," or "I don't know it." So like people would shout out Swamp Thing, and then they would like, "I don't want to draw Swamp Thing." Not even Garcia Lopez wanted to draw Swamp Thing, but so they had, I think, a set of 12 sketch. No, wait, three times. Yeah, they had 12 sketches by these three artists. They had four sketches each. They had a Wonder Woman, a Batgirl, a Hulk, and the Joker. So those were the characters that they all drew, and then they so there was 12 sketches that you could win. That they auctioned off, and they all did those sketches. And they would ask people questions, but they were so far away from the mic that I could really only hear Paul Pelletier's. And Alan Davis's accent was incredibly strong, and I had a hard time hearing him because he was drawing and far away from the mic. And the way that Alan, like they never had the projector over Alan Davis because he sketched with the tablet on his chest, and he, like at a 45 degree angle, he never had it flat. He was sketching while the thing
Oh,
was
he
just,
like props it up against his
he
body.
propped it almost vertically. Do you know what I mean? Like at a 45 and sketched like it was in front of him.
Yeah.
So you could never get him to like have it under the projector. I think they made a bad mistake though, because the moderator chose not to show the drawings after the completion of the event. So you'd only see one piece of the three artists. Whoever the projector was over, or whoever. So it was always over Pelletier or over Garcia Lopez
Oh,
because
so you
the
didn't see the
way.
other ones until the very end.
No, until the very end. So you didn't even know what they were. I
Wow.
showed you them because I had them all on my phone because I would take pictures of them.
Well, I did end up coming into that panel because my panel finished, or your panel went long, I guess. So I walked over to your room and I did see probably about 2/3 of the drawings being shown at the end.
Yeah. But the one I had been in San Diego was far superior because Scott Shaw moderated it and drew it and in within it. And the artists were Kyle Baker and Sergio could draw up a storm. Like Sergio smoked these guys because
Yeah, no doubt.
Sergio's incredibly fast. So
Yeah.
like while these guys were drawing, they only have like, 15 minutes per drawing, if not less, maybe 10 to 15 minutes per drawing, and because it's an hour panel. And Sergio, they would say like, "Do your most embarrassing theme," or whatever. And Sergio would just start with like a little cartoon, and then by the time his 15 minutes were up, there were like 150 characters on the freaking panel. And it was like, holy shit. And the thing that was different is like Garcia Lopez and Alan Davis and Paul Pelletier, they were more like they couldn't talk and draw very well at the same time. So when they were talking, they weren't sketching. Whereas like Sergio and Jim Lee and all of those guys, they could talk while they were drawing. So they were like going full blast and answering questions at the same time. So it was very different. But
I'd like to see Kyle Baker because he has a number of different styles he uses, so it'd be interesting to see what he chose to
well, those guys were extremely talented. Like
what style
Scott
he
Shaw, Kyle
choose,
Baker.
man.
He was drawing more in like, I don't know if you saw his Plastic Man, Kyle Baker's plat. He was drawing more in that style, I
That's what I
think, because
figured. It's probably a
it
quicker
was a
style.
quicker style, you know? And Sergio was Sergio, and Jim Lee was Jim Lee. I was amazed. The one
Wow, how
thing of
fast
this
he can go.
panel that I was shocked with is that Jim Lee could keep up. Like, I was like, I knew Sergio was gonna smoke them all. Like, I just knew the way he draws and stuff, he would put all these guys in the dust. But Jim Lee kept up with everything. Like, he had a sketch done on time every single time, and he did have the most what I thought was the most ingenious. One of the questions was, show us the most embarrassing time at the pan, you know, at the
At a
con.
convention,
And he drew himself on top of a toilet, and the fan was crawling underneath the stall with something for him to sign.
was funny.
And he said that that really did happen. And I'm like, oh my I can't imagine.
You sign this?
Sign this. Somebody's underneath. Yeah, it's just awful. So, while I was in that panel, so that was the sketch panel, you were in the
Yeah,
autobiographical
I went to the
panel.
autobio panel, which had, let's see, Kayla E., Sarah Meyer, Zoe Thorogood, and Noah Van Sciver. Now, Zoe Thorogood, we know because we covered her autobio book on the show, and Noah Van Sciver, I've talked about his autobio stuff before on the show. Kayla E. and Sarah Meyer, I haven't seen their stuff, but I guess they both have books coming out soon. They had like the preview copies or whatever, or pre what do they call it? Like the artist,
Ash cans?
no, like the first run or whatever, the sample copy that
Okay.
they mark up for errors or
To the
whatever. So
printer kind of thing.
yeah, the printer proof or something.
The proofs.
So they had those up there that they were showing, but it was a really good panel. There's some interesting questions for all of the people on the panel, and it was interesting to see like where the different people were coming from. Like I think it was, I can't remember which one Kayla E was and which one Sarah Meyer was, so I'm gonna mess it up. I'm gonna guess that Kayla E. Anyway, one of them, she had a really really rough childhood with a lot of bad stuff that happened to her emotionally and physically, and that's what her book is about, kind of. Her doing these comic autobio comics is kind of her way of processing, or one of the ways she processes the events that took place in her past. So it was kind of heavy. And then, and Noah Van Sciver does books about his like childhood and how he kind of grew up in poverty. And it was interesting to compare that to Zoe Thorogood, who her book was actually written as it was happening. Like she was kind of documenting her life as it was happening, as opposed to documenting something that happened in the past.
I thought she was doing it like during the COVID times
Right.
to get through that
Yeah.
situation.
Yeah. Because she had just broken up with a boy for, or boyfriend dumped her, and it was during, yeah, during COVID. So, but it was interesting. What they had one interesting discussion about, handling, like, if you're writing an autobio comic, you're obviously going to be including people, real life people who affected you, you know,
Yeah.
in your life. So how do you handle like dealing with the repercussions of that? And Noah Van Sciver, some of them said they like talked to their families beforehand and told them, you know, here's a I'm gonna do this book and you're gonna be in it, so you know.
Yeah.
Be prepared for it. Noah Van Sciver said he didn't tell his family about it, and they were kind of, his like parents were kind of pissed off about it, that he was revealing all this stuff about their
I wonder if
family.
his brother made it into it, Ethan.
He's in there. Well, of
I just
course, because this is
no
brothers,
no
so.
well I know, but it's just so weird because it's like two brothers that have different philosophies in life.
Yeah, they
Like
ended up in very
they're
different places.
like I me and my brother are very similar, like at least in political beliefs and stuff, because we came from the same place.
Yeah.
But
But it's interesting because, like, me and my brother are more similar, but, like, me and my sister are very different. I don't know about politically, but just in terms of lifestyles, I guess.
oh, lifestyles. Me and my brother are like life, light and day.
Yeah. So,
Like
yeah.
my brother is more like my dad. He's an extrovert. I'm more of a like I'm not shy. It's weird. Like I'll go up in front of people. I don't have no problem with it. But I'm more like keep my friends close and I don't go out seeking more. So, like my brother is like different. Like he'll talk to every neighbor.
Yeah,
I'll
and you
just
said
drive
like
into my garage and not, you know.
if your dad goes grocery shopping, he'll make friends just
Oh yeah, that's what my dad does.
in the aisles.
Yeah. I don't do that. I stay in my lane. I don't know. And in terms of my brother, like thinks stature is big, so like he'll live in a richer part of town and
Drive a
pay
fancy car.
extra, where I'll say, no, I'll live over here because that's what I can afford.
So he'll get new cars and you'll drive the
Yeah.
same car for
Well,
25 years
yeah, he'll get
till
new
it falls
cars and
apart.
rotate them in, and I will drive them until they fall apart.
He'll
Until
drive them until the
the
tape
cost,
deck stops,
well,
the
until the
8-track stops
cost,
working.
until the cost of repair is greater than what its blue book value is. That's basically what I do. So, yeah, different philosophies, but we came from the same place. So, politically, you know, we're very similar.
Similar.
Yeah.
I can see that. Yeah, so I can see that being interesting, yeah.
But to me, Noah and Ethan are like extremes. It's different ways of.
Well,
But
certainly
they both grew up in poverty, obviously. You know? So yeah, it's different.
yeah, there is an age gap between them too, so I don't know if that played into it.
It could have.
Because I know Ethan's.
How big age gap?
I'm not
Is it like,
sure.
oh, you don't know?
I mean, yeah,
Like I
I
could
would
see
be guessing.
me and my brother are 3 years apart. I don't know how far you and your brother are.
Yeah, before.
Four and your sister.
Two.
Who's the oldest?
I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest, me too. Maybe that's why we get along so well. It's like
Because we're
we
the
have the same
oldest.
degrees, the same degrees and the same kind of we're the oldest and
Well, I mean, grew up in the
in
same
the same kind of environments, I guess.
era, same generation.
Yeah. But anyway, that go back to the panel. You were
Yeah,
no go no.
so Noah was talking about, so his family wasn't too happy about what he revealed. And then the woman who has trauma in her past, she basically said, you know, this is my life and I'm telling my story. And well, she doesn't talk to her family anymore because of what happened in the past,
Oh
so she didn't
yeah.
really care. But some of them were like, you know, this is my life that I'm, you know, writing down, and these are things that happened to me, so you know,
Sometimes they
too
have
bad for
to.
them. Too bad. I own this story. This is my story, so.
Well, it's and in some cases, I can't say for all. It seems like it's a way to process the trauma.
Yeah,
Or the
for
things
sure.
they dealt with is to document it. You know what I mean? Like you can choose to bottle it up and pretend it never happened, or you can try to deal with it. And I think in the terms of people's brains and
Yeah,
art
and for creative
and
people,
creative people, it's it,
they
the way
want
they
to
can
put it
express
out
it is
there.
to put it out there, yeah.
Yeah. And kind of inputting it out there, make it kind of real. Yeah, so it was a really good panel. I definitely enjoyed that one. I'm glad I went to it.
On Saturday, I don't think I bought anything.
Saturday. Gosh.
Oh, I bought a couple things. That's when I got that Femforce thing I stole from your hands.
Oh yeah. That's when. So on Saturday we went. So we did the Artist Alley, and then we went around the corner. Oh, we got that's when we got the Cosmic Lion books.
Oh yeah. Oh,
So
I
there.
do. I do want to talk about this because that was my best pickup.
Yeah, there was so it was a table, and there's a creator there who I knew about and I liked him, Kevin Anthony Catalan. So I wanted to check out, see what he had, and he was next to his publisher, Cosmic Lion, and they had some books out, and Mike was taken in by the display of one of their books.
Well, two of them. There was two I bought. I spent $50 at that
Well,
panel.
specifically the display, how he displayed one of his books.
Well, yeah, I would have walked by. I don't know if you knew. Like we were. I don't know where we were walking. I think we were walking to sit down because I was in pain.
No,
I don't remember.
I was specifically going to find this artist.
Oh, maybe it was. Maybe you said I want to go find this person, and I went with you
Yeah, that's what
because
it was.
I don't remember.
You're probably gonna go sit
I think
down.
we were at Alan's table, and you said, I want to go look at this guy's book or see what he has.
Yeah.
And you went to your destination, and I saw this treasury size thing called Ghost Agents Apocalypto. And he had a cool display where he was able to like pry open the book and turn to any page he wanted and kind of display what he had. And
Yeah,
there
so
was
it's open to a splash page.
yeah, and I was drawn in immediately 'cause it reminded me of Space Pirate, or well, I forget what it was called, from Black Mask by Alex Zurich, or whatever his
Oh,
name
Space
was,
Riders.
Space Riders. And I was drawn in by that panel, and I like thumbed through it. And I was like, man, this is explosive and dynamic, and it's about secret agents, and all the art is on newsprint, and it's treasury sized, and it's absolutely spectacular. I'd highly
It's like
recommend
a
it.
bunch of story. It's an anthology type thing, right?
Yeah, it was a Kickstarter too. It has a $30 price tag on it, and it was amazing. Like I read it for this. It's pretty much about a bunch of secret agents throughout time that work for this agency called Ghost. One of them is a sexy like 70s woman. One is like a guy like who's a master of kung fu that's in this thing. And they have like a lot of good adventures throughout time. A lot take place in the 70s, a lot take place in the future. There's like a James Bond type character that's a sexier man that's part of the agents. And they're just a bunch of short stories, and the art is done by a bunch of different artists with different styles, and it is amazing artistically, color, the art, it just
Yeah,
explosive.
it
It's
looks great.
everything you want in a story. There's a story about a agent in the future that looks like Elvis, like he's like an Elvis impersonator, and this woman is the daughter of a space gangster sort of thing, and she thinks he's an android, but then falls in love with him, and later to as he's trying to infiltrate and kill the father, she has to actually kill him. So she fell in love with him, thought he was a robot, and actually killed him and found out he wasn't a robot, even though he looked like Elvis. They make it actually look like he really is Elvis, like Elvis never died. And man, there's some great art in here. A matter of fact, the artist that does 21 Century Big Spider is in this book too. So you can tell
Oh.
that Tony Farrow is in here
Mm-hmm.
as well. So yeah, he's this has like a great set of artists that appeal to me, That was a great pickup. And then the one I liked the most was Marvel puts out these comic books done by the cartoonist Kayfabe guys. And
Grand Design.
they did the grand design for Marvel. Did X-Men, Hulk, and Tom Scioli did the FF. So they have three of them. But well, these guys as fans didn't get the rights to do all this work, but they did it under like the clause that we're not doing it for any kind of profit. And you
Oh,
can
it's
tell they
also
d
parody.
it's a parody, but they did it for no profit. And I was like, man, this book is cheap. Like the cost that I bought it for came with a poster that was actually like cool material. Like I was amazed I didn't get damaged on the trip back,
Yeah, I'm
but
surprised too.
it was like it almost felt like a sticker,
Yeah, it was
like
like
it had like you could peel off a sticker and like slap it onto
textile.
something. But it's done in the grand design form, and it came from the idea of the cartoonist Kayfabe guys. So Jim Rugg and Ed Piskor had mentioned on their podcast, like, you know what, if we could do a grand design, because they love the image creators, and they're like, if we could like link the universe together, so these guys, the
Oh, so the
creators,
kayfabe guys were like, I wish we could have done this
yeah,
for
so
Image.
they took the idea that they had proposed in a podcast, and these guys created this book called Image Grand Design. And what they tried to do, which was fascinating, is they tried to link the whole universe, like how it grew out of this peel that they like fabricated this peel, and they involved Chapel, Spawn, and Shadowhawk into this adventure as that this virus was going to get launched, and that virus eventually does get launched, and it causes the freaks that are in Savage Dragon to like get created, so like it creates superpowers and mutate these guys. So they updated like the history of the Image universe so they could link it all together.
To make it,
And
yeah,
it was
one universe
awesome. It was awesome. I was surprised to see so much Trencher in there. Like they put Trencher, and I had just reread a lot of the Trencher. And
Is Trencher an Image book?
yeah.
I always forget that it's an Image book. I always
Yeah,
think it's a
so
DC book.
no, Trencher was the Keith Giffen
Yeah.
Image book. But they linked him in there. They linked
It
Pitt.
was fun.
It was the only one that they really didn't exploit, but like in one panel was Wetworks, but they did a lot of Wildcats and Youngblood, and they even linked it to what was the first thing they linked it to? They linked it to Phantom Force. So if you remember all these things, it starts off with Phantom Force and then moves forward in time. But it is a really cool comic book. And if you had read a lot of the history, they do a lot of things with this character. It's really tight at the beginning in terms of like continuity, and then as you read on, it gets really loose. Becomes more of a parody. But the initial stuff is done in grand design form, like historical, but with loose ideas that I think Piskor and Jim Rugg came up with. Yeah, so I really liked it. I expected to like this, and I did like it as much as I did, because I just love the image creators.
Yeah.
So that was great.
And their creations.
I didn't know that was Saturday. I thought that was Sunday.
No, that was, yeah, that
But
was Saturday.
I guess it was Saturday because I had looked through your book and read kind of like the prologue to his new offering that you picked up and learned a little bit about the creator.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Whereas Sunday we were sort of packing to, 'cause to leave in the morning at really early. Sun
And then
Saturday, where did we go eat on
Saturday
Saturday?
we went to, was that the barbecue
Oh,
place?
was I thought barbecue was Sunday.
Might have been.
Yeah, oh, we went to the place, though, the taco place. The taco tofu
Yes.
burrito.
Tofu burrito,
Yeah, I
my
forget what
tofu
the name of it
tofu
was, but
adventure. I have tofu. I tofu every night. No, I had the chicken, or I had not chicken, the fish.
we had fish the one night.
Yeah, we went to so this was, it was on the same street as two places we used to go to that are now shut down.
Yeah.
But actually, I like this place. It was a small place. They had a interesting menu, so.
Yeah, this place we walked to, so we actually walked to it. There was an interesting like nightclub that was right next to this place,
Packed.
because as we were leaving, there was some guy just barfing, and then there was some guy consoling him that was carrying around his pee bag, like his he had a catheter hooked up to him, and I'm like, wow, that guy doesn't even have it in pants. He's just carrying his pee bag around. And he was like trying to console the guy that was barfing in the trash. And I don't know if anybody saw this guy except for me, because I was Barb just said keep moving and don't look, 'cause there was gonna, this guy's gonna be vomiting all over the place. But the other guy that was like walking next to him had like a catheter that was
Colostomy bag.
Just wide out in the open. It was very unusual. And there was like music playing, boom, 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 boom.
There's like a long line to
there are
get into this club.
paramedics coming out because there was a
Yeah, we weren't
fire.
sure what the paramedics were for.
I don't know if it was for the guy vomiting, but they were there.
They weren't near
And
him,
then
though. They were like pointing to the
there
door.
was a bunch of girls dancing out there on the street. So it was an interesting place.
And there's people up on the roof dancing too. Like there was a club went all
Yeah,
the way to the
it
roof.
was a lively bar, whatever the heck it was.
Was happening, yeah.
It looked like there was more people that could be,
They're all dressed up,
yeah,
fancy.
that could be in there that was even physically possible. It looked like packed.
Yeah. It did. But the taco place was not packed. Although
Yeah,
there was a woman there who was apparently live streaming her eating food.
I didn't even know that was happening. She was sitting right in back of me. She was like her we were sitting back to back, so I guess I didn't see her.
Yeah.
And she's in my dead spot where I can't hear her, so I don't know why she was live streaming her burrito, but that's what she was doing. I just noticed her tattoos, 'cause she had some tattoos in some cool places.
Tattoos in cool places. That was fun. And then on, was there anything else on Saturday? I think that was it for Saturday.
Yeah,
I think there was a
Sunday
panel I
was
wanted to go
the
to.
you went to
Did
the
I?
you went to the editors
Oh, I
panel
did.
though
I
on
went to the Marvel
Saturday.
Editors panel. Yeah, that was on Saturday.
Tell me a little bit about that, 'cause I didn't hear much
He
about
didn't
it.
attend that one. Yeah, so that one, so there was, let me look here. Okay, Tom DeFalco, Larry Hama, Al Milgrom, Howard Mackey, and Carl Potts.
Sounds like a lot of great people with a lot of great stories.
It was a lot of great people with a lot of great stories. They were all talking about their time in the bullpen and telling stories about working for Marvel and working on the different titles. One interesting thread they were following was, and I can't remember who, was it Carl Potts who was the editor of Marvel Fanfare?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's who it was. He was talking about how that kind of came to be and what the vision behind that was. But
That was
at first,
inventory stories, though, wasn't it?
it didn't start out that way.
Okay.
he was going to it was going to be original stuff, so he was just gonna it was gonna be an anthology of original books, but I can't remember the exact story, but I think they I don't know if something fell through or whatever, but by for some reason he was in need of a story quick, and he found out that there was this story from I don't know if it was an X-Men story or what it was that was never used and no longer fit in continuity. So he's like, "Oh, can I just print that?" And they're like, "Sure." So that kind of became a secondary use of this title is to store use inventory stories that they just had that they could print. But he said he used to go around and like ask people what they're working on and try and find people who had free time so they could like work on stories for it. It was interesting. I liked hearing Larry Hama's stories. He was very interesting. It's funny seeing the like the different personalities because some of them were louder. Larry Hama's like more soft spoken.
Do you
But he
talk
had
about
good
G.I. Joe at all or no?
stories. No, I didn't talk about J. Joe. He probably talked the least out of all of them. And then
Cause
there
I
were
what I know about Larry Hama is Wolverine and his work on Wolverine and G.I. Joe, pretty much. He did a lot more, but that's what I know him from. But then
And then
Tom DeFalco had a bunch of like writing gigs and editing stuff, so.
yeah, he was talking about a lot about editing, working with everyone there. And of course, they all were talking about Stan and, of course, John Romita just, you know, because he, due to his recent passing. It was good, though. There's a lot of funny stories, and it's funny. It's cool to hear them talk about some stories where some of them kind of forgot about the stories or forgot about the details, and they're kind of reminding each other of what happened. It was
So
good.
I
I like
think
a lot of
on
those kinds of
that
panels.
day I lost you 'cause you were shopping and I went walking around and that's when Collected Comics Library Andy and Chris Marshall called me and said, "Let's meet up." So that's when I spent time with them.
Okay, that's where you
Yeah,
ended up
when you were
there.
at that panel. So that was and that's on Saturday that might be. So I guess I picked up those two things, the Image thing and the Ghost Agents, and then I picked up those two superpowers thing 'cause that's where Andy showed me that where they were selling those. He had picked up a bunch more. I don't know all the mini comics that he got, but it was like collections of very similar things like that. But the only two that I were really interested in was the superpowers ones.
From the same place?
Yeah, from the same place.
Oh, he got all the bootlegs. I still don't know
Yeah.
which booth that was. You never showed me which which booth that was.
It was the other side of God, what is it? Henry Yee? Harvey Yee?
Yeah, okay, Harvey Yee. I
Yeah,
know where
the
he
other
was.
side of it. Yeah.
Okay. Also, just a dealer.
Yeah, it was his booth. He had two sides.
Oh, it's Harvey
One,
Yee's book?
yeah,
You
no,
sent
it's
me?
not his, but
Oh.
it's the other side of his booth.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
And I did get some stuff on, I think it was Saturday that I found that one booth that was on the L that had a bunch of dollar, $2 comics. And they had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle box, so I ended up getting, let me see, a bunch of Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that I need because I'm trying to get all of the issues from that one. And I think I picked up about five issues of Tales, so I was very happy about that. And I picked up a Creed and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I did not have. And I did pick up the right one, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Savage Dragon book. Because I had the Savage Dragon Teenage Mutant Mutant Ninja Turtles book, but not the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Savage Dragon book. So now I have both of them.
Yeah, that
I
looked
was
like a good booth
very
if you
happy to
wanted to
find that
fill
one.
holes. Yeah.
Yeah, that was. And I also ended up getting a ton of Tick. I got, I don't know how many I got. But for Tick, there were like a bunch of like mini series kind of spin-offs
Yeah.
and stuff and specials. So I ended up getting probably about 10 Tick books that I needed. So I was very happy about that. Because those can be a little more pricey.
The
Well,
New
I got
England
more than 10.
comics.
I probably got about 15 of those. Yeah.
I didn't
I mean,
see
they're not
anything.
hugely
I don't
pricey,
think
but.
I saw like I don't, I knew you got the Ninja Turtles 'cause I think I saw you at that booth, but I didn't look through any of your stuff that day because that was the day that I bought all of that Superman stuff.
Hey, you're so distracted.
Well, I got so many good things that day that I got like 6 issues of Jaguar Archie Comics. I got early showcase issues that I was missing, like the first appearance of Angel and the Ape and the Maniacs, and like I got a lot of good stuff.
You
It
got
was
crazy
incredible
stuff.
stuff.
It was.
I was very happy with everything I picked up, all Silver Age goodness, all for less than $10 each because he flipped a dollar bill for me and said, "If it lands on what you pick, I'll give you $100 off." And I'm like, "Heck yeah." All because he loves Chris Campbell, so thank you, Chris Campbell.
He, all because he knows you because of Chris Campbell.
Yeah, he knows me. His wife recognized me. She knew I was from Colorado. She remembered. I was like, "How do you remember all this shit?"
She remember Barb too.
Yeah, she remembered Barb. That was incredible. I told her, "God, I wish I had your memory because you like remember everything." She remembered Hassan. She remembered like, God, it's crazy.
Well, even more amazing that the last time she saw any of you guys was 2019.
Yeah, that was
So it's not
Sunday
like
though.
last year.
I think that was Sunday when I bought all those books.
Was it?
Because
Yeah, it probably was.
they didn't have anything on
Yeah,
Saturday.
we stopped by their booth on Saturday, but they just had like super expensive books and then a pile of unbagged $3 comics on a table spread out. But I don't think they had the $10 ones yet.
That bird.
Yeah, he keeps coming by.
What is that?
It's a grackle or a
I
black
haven't
bird.
seen a grackle in years.
Yeah, grackle or one of the blackbirds.
But it's got the blue head. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, there's one. He just comes
Yeah.
and he goes away.
Sorry, bird interaction there.
Distracted by a bird. So then
Yeah.
Sunday.
Like they used to.
Wait, did we talk about our dinner on Saturday? Yeah, that was the taco place, right?
Yeah, Sunday is when I scored, and that's where we met in the Mike Grill panel. Because
Yeah, we went to the Mike Grill panel at
you went
noon.
shopping and you were looking at stuff, and then I went shopping, and then I got distracted at that booth, and then I realized where you were, because I think you texted me, and I was gonna
Yeah, I
text you
did. Yeah.
after I got all these books. I was gonna text you, and then I went to Cunningham's booth because I wanted to drop off all that stuff. And because I didn't want to carry it. No, I did carry it because I showed you at the panel. You had
Yeah, I
saw
think
that
you
I
had
bought
it
all
at yeah,
these
I think you had
books.
it at that point.
Yeah. Because I showed up half hour late to the Mike Grill panel. So I didn't get to hear all the stories.
But you've seen him before, right?
Well, he was talking about the John Sable stuff. I'd seen him before. Did he
Yeah.
talk about Gene Simmons or no?
No, I don't think he mentioned that.
Or the creation. He did talk about the script a little bit, the TV script.
Oh, yes, he did. Yeah, he talked about the TV show.
He didn't talk about Gene Simmons's interest in it, I guess, before. I don't know what happened before, but when I
Yeah.
got there, it turned out to be more of a Q&A, and the moderator
Target.
was
Yeah.
asking questions.
Yeah. Oh, and I figured out the moderator, Andy Kunkka, why I
Yeah.
recognize his voice. He did that podcast, or I don't know, he may still do it. The two guys with PhDs.
Oh, really? I never listened to that one.
Yeah.
I used to get mad at that.
Yeah, I used to.
Because it used to bother me. Because it bothers me that people with PhDs would just say it.
That they would use that as their calling card.
I'm more of a humble person, I guess. I don't know. If I had a PhD, I wouldn't say, call me doctor.
Yeah, we don't say, welcome to Geek Brunch, the show with two guys with double E degrees.
Yeah, we don't say that.
But he did a good job of doing
the moderation.
They're moderating the panel.
They were talking about the Kickstarter. Did they talk about doing another volume of it? I missed that.
I don't remember them saying anything about another volume. It was good though. It was interesting to hear the history of John Sable and just the history of Mike Grell's work and stuff over the years.
One of the things that he had said, like, I don't remember a lot from that panel because I think I was in a God, I scored all these good books kind of mode. I was still drifting.
You're probably thinking about the comics you passed on.
Well, I was thinking about, like, maybe I should have looked at that table a little harder. Like, I should have went to the $5, you know, like, because I had gotten such good books. But I remember him talking about why the Bat, like, he was going to do a Batman John Sable crossover, and I didn't know about that.
Yeah, he did talk about that.
And the way he was going to introduce it was... Bruce Wayne knocks on the door, and he's knocking on the door, and he doesn't remember who he is. Yeah. And he says, I need you to help me find out who I am. And then he opened up his shirt, and there's the bat symbol. And it sounds like a good premise. Like, it would have been pretty cool, but it never panned out, and they couldn't get anybody to agree on. I think it was fee, like cost. I've heard from multiple people in panels and stuff, and it's kind of discouraging. I heard it in the sketch panel, and I heard it indirectly in Mike Grell's panel. But it sounds like the page rate on comic books has dropped dramatically from the 90s. Like, it's like they don't see it like viable to even do books at the page rate that they're getting nowadays, which is sad. And I think it's because that's why a lot of veterans aren't doing comics that we want to see, you know, do comics.
Or they don't get called anymore.
The companies have moved on, and
or they're
just
starting
don't...
their own companies.
Yeah.
Or starting their own labels with other publishers.
So a lot of their,
they probably get more of the money.
A lot of their outlets now are through Kickstarters and stuff, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a good panel.
And Sunday was barbecue, and that was by far our biggest table we had, because it was Michael, Claire, me, Barb, you, Alan, Luke. No, Luke wasn't there. It was...
No. I think our biggest was at the taco
Keith.
Place.
Oh, because Luke was there.
Because Luke was there,
It was one more than we had at the barbecue place.
Yeah, but the barbecue place had cheer wines.
So. They had cheer wines, so I had two cheer wines. The other thing I noticed on the flight home is I got to try Cheer Wine Zero, which I never got to try before. It was really good. So now I know I could have like a diet cheer wine, and it tastes pretty damn good.
Yeah. Now you just have to find it.
I was going to get burnt ends, and they were out.
This is a funny thing. So the waitress, she was at the far end of the table, like from where we were sitting. And she said, we're out of, you know, you guys ready to take your order? I just need to let you know that we're out of the burnt ends, and we're out of, ribs or whatever.
Yeah.
Rider ribs. So then she goes around taking everyone's order, and Some people are disappointed because, you know, they wanted the ribs or the burnt ends.
Alan wanted ribs.
Yeah, he wanted ribs. Mike was disappointed because he wanted the burnt ends. So she comes to him and he says, well, I was going to order the burnt ends, but since you don't have those, I guess I'll get the ribs.
But she took the order.
Yeah, she took the
she
order.
She didn't say anything at that time.
So everyone else at the table's like, wait, what? What did he just order?
Yeah,
so...
I think Alan was like, motherfucker.
She goes back and then like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes later, she comes back to the table and she's like, sir, I just wanted to let you know, you got the last ribs from the back. The last ones. Yeah. And everyone's like, son of a bitch. Because everyone else ordered before you.
Yeah, I like the brisket the most. So
you did share your ribs too. So
I shared my ribs with Alan. Well, I didn't know Alan wanted the ribs. So that's one thing I didn't know, because he was on the other end of the table. And, I was going to give mine to Micah, because I know Micah lives there, and he would take anything.
Yeah, he was
going to
take them home.
He would take leftovers, because they were already preparing their leftovers. So I was going to give him my ribs. And Micah was like, you know, Alan wanted ribs. So I gave him, like, three ribs of the half rack of ribs that I had.
So he got his ribs.
Why was I so full?
Oh, we got the cornbread.
We had the cornbread.
It was filling.
We didn't have an appetizer, though, did we?
No, just the cornbread.
Just the cornbread.
But you got the meal. I mean, yours is basically a meal and then and ribs.
And ribs, yeah. Well, that was the addition. Because I was going to order the brisket and the burnt ends, but they didn't have the burnt ends. So, yeah, that was... I like the brisket more, and I thought I would like the ribs more, but...
The brisket was the winner.
Yeah. And then I had mac and cheese and...
And I got salmon. And I'm realizing I alternated meals. I had tofu, then fish, then tofu, and then fish.
Yeah. What was your favorite of all the places?
Probably
the
salmon.
The salmon.
Yeah, it was really good.
Mine was the Korean barbecue by a landslide.
Like
I would have eaten there every night of the week. For sure.
Yeah, it was really good. Don't get me wrong. And next time we go there, I think I'm going to have to get the fish sausage corn dog.
Oh, yeah.
Just to try it.
Well, you'd like the other one, too, because it was you could eat that. It was
cheese. It's a big mozzarella stick.
It's mozzarella with potatoes fried on the end.
Yeah.
And a corn dog, yeah.
Breaded with cornmeal and potatoes.
Yeah. Anything else you want to highlight?
Is there anything else?
I didn't get to meet with Ed Moore. I was supposed to. Didn't get to do that.
Oh, we didn't talk about the rubber wolf stuff we picked up.
Oh yeah, the rubber wolf.
So this is the one where we got the sampler, and if you go to Mike's Twitter account, and you can see a dramatic reading of the free comic.
Fighting guys.
So we went to the table and we said, "Hey, we like that Fighting Guys. What do you have that's similar to it?" And I think he said that the 21st Century Big Spider was the closest to
said
it.
They're, so but he did say they're all very similar.
Yeah.
I just love the name of Fighting Guys, Roggle Surth versus Mongo T Stank. That's pretty fucking funny.
Yeah, that was for just a 3-page comic, there were a lot of laughs packed into it.
Yeah.
So I picked up volume 1 of 21st Century of Big Spider. Which is cool. I like the bonus material in the back because he kind of talks about where the idea came from and the different iterations he's published over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that the concept of it is there's a Skrull, a Skull, and a Lobot and a woman that team up.
And they like beer. They like the same brand of beer, too. It's no longer available. It's called Kunkel.
Yeah, they like their 40s. Yeah, it's just it's a really fun story. The art is great. I like that there's a couple of places where he kind of breaks the fourth wall and talks about how his comics look. I can't remember what it was, but there's one mention like, your stuff is just like a Kirby ripoff.
Is that all you picked up was the trade?
Yeah, I just got the trade.
Oh, so I got the trade plus...
Well, and I got the mini comic.
I got the trade plus...
You got a couple
issue
issues,
four.
Right?
Yeah. Plus Randy Tucker bomb dude.
Yeah, I need to get Randy Trucker, and I need to get, he had another book there that we didn't get that I want to pick up.
So you did get the Six Soldiers of Fortune.
Yeah, I got the Six Soldiers of Fortune.
That was interesting because that one actually had like a theme. And yeah, if you notice it, it was it says original story by Jacob and William Grimm, and then adapted by Tony Farrow.
Yeah, so it's based on a Grimm fairy tales story.
Yeah, so it's basically like this guy's walking around, which is Lambot guy, right? He walks around and picks up various characters on the way. One is a super strong guy. One is like a sniper. One is like, can blow wind out of his nose. One is like Mercury has to cut off his leg to slow himself down.
Yeah,
and
he cuts off his leg so he can't run.
And then they get into a competition where there's a race, and it's basically their main villain, daughter, and she's just naturally fast, but she's having to race Mercury. Well, Mercury gets there, but he decides to take a nap, so she gains like the ability, she gains speed on him and almost wins, but the guy that blows snot, I think wakes his ass up. Or no, the sniper does. He shoots at his helmet, wakes him up, and then he ends up winning the race. And yeah, he doesn't want to give his daughter up because I think the prize is you get to win my daughter, and he bribes them not to win his daughter, so he doesn't give them his daughter. Yeah, that was pretty cool. The original version of the story was in a Grandizer zine.
Yeah, it looks like for some of these stories, he's like published them in little books before.
Yeah, 21st Century Big Spider was kind of neat because the Big Spider, he printed these out of order, like you said. It's printed in issue 2 and 3. He put Barbarian Tine up front.
Yeah.
And then he put issue 1 as the last issue, and then you get a bunch of shorts. And yeah. Tony tells the story of the spider, which you don't know by starting the way he told it, you don't know like the relationship between the spider and the various characters.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Hollis, Skillet, Mara, and Skull. But the Lambot is that Mr. Hollis or whatever. But they go to Barbarian Time to get a penis pump.
Oh, who's a penis pump? Oh, Nipsey Russell's penis pump.
Nipsey Russell's penis pump. And he sends them there, and when they land, they get transported, like their costumes change immediately because the spider ports them over there, and she's like dressed like Red Sonja, and she's like, what the fuck? Why am I in the skimpy outfit? And the other guys are dressed like in barbarian shorts and armor, and
the skull has like horns.
Yeah. And they meet like a Conan wannabe, and he's like, we got to take down this princess, and it turns out that the main female character knows this girl, and they end up scissoring in bed together. I like the covers too, because the Rubber Wolf, like at least in issue 2 and 3, he does like the Charlton logo. It looks really cool.
Yeah, that's one thing he does. Like, I think on all of his comics, he like parodies a different company.
Yeah.
Like The one you got, I can't remember what company that's parodying. I've seen it before, though. And he was selling one that was like a Silver Wolf parody.
Yeah.
I think this one's like a DC parody.
What I noticed is that the issues progressed, they got better, because issue 4 was my favorite. The single issue he had pokes fun at the one character that has the green head. They're all sitting on the couch, like all the scenes open up, and he wants to get the beer, and they're like, well, your beer doesn't exist anymore. But he goes to the liquor store, he meets their villain, that's that crystal like warrior that's always fighting him, and he ports him back to the 90s. And so, like, he runs across Extreme Strike Force. And they have a character called, like, Jester. Satan Claw looks like exactly like Faust. Raven Dark. Blood Shard looks like something that Liefeld did. Killina looks like a bad girl. And then Ogre looks like Pitt. But he gets in, like, a scrap down in the 90s because he's ported in the 90s. And he has to end up fighting these guys. But what he realizes after he wins is that he's in the 90s. He can go get the beer that he wants.
Ah.
So, like, that was pretty cool.
So he's happy.
Like, I enjoyed this a lot. And there's a lot of, like, pinups and stuff in the back, which is really cool. But I don't know if this guy does Kickstarters or what, but I would like to keep getting these 21st
century. Yeah, I'm not sure if he does. Yeah, I know you can buy his stuff on his website.
And then,
but yeah, they're fun and they're well drawn.
Randy Tucker.
Recommended.
Is like a guy that's kind of an asshole, but he wears like a tank top. He like comes out of the 80s when the shorts were really short, like short shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And, it opens up with him, like, these guys are like, Randy Tucker's about to beat Black Tiger, and he's playing, like, a stand-up video game, and he beats the game, and then he goes, I want to go buy some comics. He goes to the comic store, and there's an interesting conversation, this guy. He says, yo, Dave, what you got for me? And he goes, sweet, you found that Grips number 2 I needed. Grips number 2 is, like, actual comic. Nice. By the guy who does Faust.
Yep.
And then he says, I don't know how you read this garbage, Randy. And he says, you should try reading some decent comics. And then he shows up Love and Rockets and he says, I ain't reading that romance shit. And then he just goes out, he runs across, there's like this disease that's taking over people, and it turns like fraternity guys into trolls and monsters, and he has to fight them all. And yeah, it's really cool. I like some of the references. So yeah, I enjoyed this Randy Tucker number 1.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I'll need to get that.
So anything else you want to mention on Heroes Con, or?
I don't think I had any other.
We bought stuff from Keith Cunningham, too. We bought where we left off on his anthology.
Yes.
Barb bought his novel. Barb also bought Luke Foster's anthology Western. And let's see, what else did I get? Oh, I got to one of the days on Sunday I got to draw commissions basically for myself.
You did.
But I got to use professional tools, and that was really cool.
Yes, Mike got to use
a blue pencil
and a
you could do like the breakdowns with the blue pencil, and then I had like this ink pen which was very weird. It's like you push harder, you get a thicker line. You pull away, you get a real thin line. It was very, like, the blue pencil was very relaxing, and the the ink pen was very stressful, but it was a very cool experience. Like, I enjoyed it. I drew two commissions on blank covers. My first commissions ever. I drew a Mr. Paranoid Man for Barb. Mr. Paranoid Man was like a sketch doodle that Barb used to do on everything. And I drew him back in high school. She used to draw him back in high school. And it's probably for a good reason, because I'm probably Mr. Paranoid Man in real life. She ended up marrying him. But paranoid about everything and always plans for the worst and hopes for the best. Philosophy. So I drew him, and then I drew Bill. I drew Bill Bomer on the other sketch cover.
You did.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I was doing on the cover, though.
I don't remember either, to tell you the truth. Oh, you said I'd rather be reading comics than you were at work and doing elevator shit. That's what you were doing.
That's right.
Yep, so I think we shouted out Alan, we shouted out Cunningham, Luke, Andy, Chris, Marshall. Oh, we met Hassan again. We saw Hassan. So Hassan was there with his new podcast. Yeah. Got to see Hassan.
And we saw Kirk, of course, and his family.
Oh, Kirk, this God, thank you, my God. I forgot. I think his wife is named Mindy, so I got to meet her and his son. His younger son.
Yes.
And because I think his other son is like high school age or maybe graduated.
Yeah, I think he has a 18-year-old.
But Kirk, this was very interesting. This was on Saturday. And this I think is what happened on the panel. I lost you and I texted you, but you didn't answer. Oh, I actually called you and you didn't answer because you were in the panel.
Yeah.
And I found Kirk. Like, I was trying to find Kirk the whole trip. And
yeah, it took
what
a while.
I guess what I didn't realize is that Kirk had my number, and I texting him was way more effective than going through Twitter. And he was there, and he introduced me to a guy that does a podcast, and he had just completed his Amazing Spider-Man run. But the thing about Kirk is, like, he knows everybody. Like, he goes by, he, like, knows, and then takes, like, the most obscure comics and is able to talk to him. There was another guy I ran into with him and his wife, and they actually sell comics to Kirk on what is that platform that just takes pictures? What is that? What is it called? Instagram.
Instagram, yeah.
So he knew it. He also did comics back in the day, because he told me the story of how he got a John Byrne commission when he was tabling right next to him at Dragon Con, and nobody was in line for John Byrne. So he's like, "Hey, John, can you do me a commission?" And he didn't sell it. He had a table there to sell his comics, and he didn't sell anything on Friday, so he didn't even show up on Saturday. But he did get a John Byrne sketch, so that was pretty awesome. But, like, I just hanging out with him, I got to meet, like, a lot of people, because Kirk knows so much. Like, he's so knowledgeable about the stuff that people don't care about. And what I mean by that is, you know, people want Spider-Man and people want, like, Marvel and DC. What Kirk wants is that obscure stuff. And he like, knows, like, Paul, he got signatures from Paul Pelletier on, like, one of his first works. So he, like, brings the obscure stuff.
Yeah, I think he likes bringing, like, the first creator's first works or whatever, early
yeah.
works.
And then he spent a lot of time at that table where, can't remember his name, but what was that Emily story? What was that?
Oh, John Lee's.
John Lee's, yeah. He was there like a long time just getting like stuff signed. And the one thing that was nice about John Lee is he was signing everything of his like
Yeah.
for free. And he was and literally he had everything. Like he had
That's hurt,
everything that
yeah.
he's ever done. Like
Yeah.
he just bring he carries a box with him and
He
he
has on a little what are those things called? Caddy of some
a
sort.
little caddy and he just brings it around and gets it
He's
signed.
prepared, well prepared.
Yeah, he knows at a con like what he's gonna do.
He must go
And
through the list of people and say, "Okay, I have that guy's comics, some of that guy's comics," and just pulls them all out and puts them in a box.
yeah. So yeah, that was a
Opens
highlight.
up. Yeah, it was nice to meet his family. Hadn't
I did
met
get
them.
to talk to Peepoy a lot. Unfortunately, he didn't do my commission, so he owes me one. But because I paid for it. But
Yeah. Oh, and we also
I
talked
talked to him
to
for a while.
I think on Saturday we talked to Pat Shand.
Yeah, we did.
He had a table there. That was our first time meeting him,
And
so that
Bill showed
was.
him his Pat Shand
I showed him my Pat Shand
shelf.
shelf, yeah. So that was fun talking to him as well.
Yeah.
Didn't buy anything from him because I already have everything that I want, so.
They gave us a card.
Oh yeah, we got a
Like a.
collectible card.
Yeah.
That's something that he does because he's into Pokemon, so he's into the collectible cards, so
Yeah.
he was probably very excited that he could make his own cards.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to Peepoy.
Yeah, I got to talk to him
He hadn't
about
talked to him for a
music and a
while.
lot of stuff, and I got to see him sell one of his pieces.
His original pages.
Yeah, his original pages, and so yeah, it was a good con. I'm glad we went over. I'm trying to think if I missed anybody, but at least friend wise, and I think I got everybody. I can't believe I forgot Kirk. Because I spent a lot of time with them, more than you
I
did,
wish
because you
I
were at
wish
the
I had spent more
panel.
time with Kirk, but yeah, you found him when I was at that panel, so. And then yeah, it seemed like every time I saw him, he was headed off to his car or something to
Yeah.
put books away, to exchange books, put books away and get new books for more people to sign. But yeah, Heroes is always a fun con, so
I think it was the
fun.
con. I spent more time at the con, at this con, than I did other times because usually when me, you, and Daryl and others are there, we usually go and take like a 3 hour lunch and we're
Yeah,
gone.
I think that I don't know if it's because the show opening later, maybe
Or
now.
the restaurants that we all went to within walking distance were gone.
That's true too. But yeah, so we just. But you figure, I mean, if you have a late breakfast, the con doesn't open until like 11 or whatever. So if you eat enough for breakfast, you can last the whole day.
Good
Just
breakfast.
bring some Belvedere.
Shout out to the woman that was the hostess there. I really liked her a lot. And talked to her. She said they're getting rid of the buffet, which sucks.
Oh, at the restaurant, yeah, or at the
Yeah.
hotel. Yeah, we had the leaky air conditioner, but they fixed that. But yeah, they're doing construction in the hotel.
Yeah.
But they didn't seem to make a lot of noise on the weekend, probably because there's more
I
people.
think the noisiest day was the night that you did not spend there.
Yeah, because it was a
Because I was
Thursday.
in the room, like I think Barb was still asleep, but I was in the other room, and by 8 o'clock they were banging, like literally banging tools, like the whole time.
Because well, we saw like w workers in the lobby and elevators and stuff, but there wasn't really a lot of noise over the weekend. At least when we were there.
And I found out on Sunday that we share the same light switch. Because I was like, why does Bill have a fucking... Rooms, yeah. Why is Bill trying to sleep with the light on? Because I got up really early because we were flying out that morning. It was like 5... God, it was early. It's like,
yeah, we had to get up early.
It's like 5 a.m. or... I can't remember what time I had gotten up. But I think Barb was getting ready, so I have to go use the bathroom. So I was like, I'm going to go downstairs. And I'm like, why is Bill sleeping with the light on? And it's because I turned the light on him. He's so probably like, that motherfucker.
Nah, I knew I had to get up soon anyway, so. That helped me wake up.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was a good con. We did a lot of shopping, at least I did.
Yeah, I definitely got more comics than I expected to. Lucky that I could fit it all. I'm surprised when we were come Monday, looking around the room at the stacks of comics everywhere, I'm like, oh my God, how are we gonna fit all this stuff?
Yeah,
both of us.
I had confidence in Barb because Barb seems to be able to pack really
stuff
compressed. And... yeah, she even had some room to spare because she had bought that toilet paper because she didn't like their toilet paper, so we took that back home.
Oh, you did take the toilet paper.
Yeah, we had space. She made space.
Fit, huh?
Yeah. But I think that was it. I think I mentioned everything I bought except for some of the obscure stuff. But
yeah. Yeah, and I always feel like I'm sure there's stuff we missed in Artist Alley, but when there's that many tables, it's like if you were to go to each table, it would take like your entire time just going table to table.
Yeah.
So it's hard to pick out the winners.
I think whoever schedules the panels puts all the good ones against each other, which I don't like. Because I would have went to more panels if...
yeah. Well, like
there was that Mike Grell and the Chris Claremont and Alan Davis one were at the same time. And then there was the ones that the Zoe's Thoroughgood and
yeah, the ones we
the
went
sketch
to. We went
and
to different ones.
And then there was
the
another
time.
One that was the Tarzan one that I wanted to go to really
bad. Oh, yeah. I wanted to go to that one too. Yeah. Yeah. It seemed like at certain times there was like three panels.
And then when there's, you want to go to a panel, there's nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it just seems really...
yeah, I think they definitely... I don't know if it's just the coincidence that the ones we want to go to are all at the same time, or if they just did a poor job of figuring what people want. Like,
yeah.
Don't have three panels with old-timers at the same time. Spread them out throughout the day.
Yeah.
People who want to go to one probably want to go to the other ones.
There was an interesting question about, like, some young girl asked the sketch artist, like, can you name any women artists that are contemporary that you like their work? And it was interesting because none of them could name anybody that was new except for Garcia Lopez. Like, it was always, like, Ramona Freyden and all the like. I can't remember who Garcia Lopez said. Oh, it was Emanuela Lupacino.
Okay.
That was the one that he said. That was,
yeah, that's a good one.
You know, contemporary.
Yeah.
Everybody else that they mentioned, even Pelletier, they were all
old school.
Yeah, well, Pelletier did mention an inker, like, that inked his work. They said, there's nobody better that I would ever have ink my work, but... yeah, there was some interesting things. I almost wanted to ask, like, do you guys like nougat? Is nougat your favorite candy bar ingredient? But
I think your question was, what is your favorite
candy bar ingredient.
Candy bar ingredient.
And nougat came up. I don't know.
Yes.
Somebody mentioned nougat.
The last thing mentioned, yes.
Yeah.
Nougat.
Most of it was the obvious chocolate, right?
Yeah, caramel.
Caramel.
Nuts.
Peanuts. Nuts. Well, I think that wraps us up. We got to decide what we're going to read for next time, but I don't know yet.
Yeah,
I would like to read Void Rivals. I don't even know if I'm going to be back. I don't know if I'll be able to
be around in 2 weeks.
Rough. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be rough because we come back on Saturday, so I won't have any time.
Yeah. Well, let me know.
I might be able to do my other podcast because that one I don't have to read anything. Except something old, and that's easy.
Oh, I forgot one other something old. I did pick up one old comic. I picked up Henry Aldridge number one by my
favorite creator. Yeah, I
didn't
even know that was.
My favorite creator, John Stanley. And this is one of his books that hasn't been collected, so I don't know if it'll ever be collected because it was based on like a TV show that no one has ever heard of anymore.
Hmm.
So I was happy to find that at a reasonable price.
Yeah, I'm surprised you looked for that or ran across it because that would have been in the Golden Age, right?
Yeah,
or Silver Age.
It's 10-cent comic.
Yeah, that's Golden Age. That's how I like to separate it.
Yeah. And I have a Henry Aldridge number 4.
Ah.
Not as good condition. This one was in nice condition too.
I just ran across a comic book on my database that would have been very cool for Jim Shooter to sign. For me, that I don't own, it's Galactica, the New Millennium by Jim Shooter and Dan Parsons, which is Battlestar Galactica from Realm Comics. That just randomly came up as I was...
What is it called? Galactica?
Galactica, the New Millennium, 1999.
Is it Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah.
Really?
I thought, two things. I thought I owned all the Battlestar Galactica stuff, and I obviously don't, because this doesn't have the word Battlestar in it. It's called Galactica.
Oh, yeah, so he has one of the stories in it.
Yeah.
Man, I don't think I have this. Not in stock.
That's a dangerous... Well, this one's going to be a bitch to get. Those Galactica,
definitely.
Maximum and Realm comics, those are hard to find. They're low print runs.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. You can find them. They show up eventually, but it's one of those things that's never in stock until you get the notice, you know?
Yeah.
And then by the time you go, it's gone.
Yeah.
If you don't jump. All right. Well, we can wrap this baby up. I canceled my other podcast for tonight because I got yard work to do. My brother's like, just pay somebody. I think I consider it next year.
Oh, this is Galactica, the New Millennium's already in my want list.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. It's not in mine. I haven't done a My Comic Shop order in a long time. But I want to. I forgot that I did look at two books at the con and considered them. I was considering Amazing Spider-Man 129 and Hulk 181, some big purchases.
That was on Friday.
I didn't pull it, but I looked at them and I thought about it and I really want them. Like, I think I would have got the Amazing Spider on day three, I found this weird booth that wasn't even a booth. They had the books on the wall, like just a wall, and you could stand in front of it. And they had a Amazing Spider-Man 129 graded for something that I was looking at price range, and I didn't. It was like a 4.0, which is what I would get.
Yeah.
And I didn't pull a plug on that, and they just keep going up. So I keep telling myself, I gotta be like that Amazing Spider-Man guy. And sometimes, like he told me, sometimes you just gotta do it, and then you feel better.
Yeah, cause because it
only gets worse.
The ones he needed were pricey ones, so he must have dropped a pretty penny on those. But he's,
I think
but
his name was Delvin, if I remember correctly.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But he, yeah, I think he was just like, he only had a couple books left, and he's like, well,
1, 2, and 3 of Amazing Spider-Man.
I'm either gonna do it or I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah,
and I keep waiting, it's just gonna go up in price. So.
And I remember Kirk was with us, and Kirk asked him, "Well, are you gonna do Amazing Fantasy 15?" And he said, "No, that's a little bit too much."
Yeah.
And yeah. It's interesting because I know Kirk has one.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he does. He's got like some big ass books. Like he even took an Amazing Spider-Man 129. He gave it up for consignment to my comic shop, but he said, "Mike, do you want to buy it?" And he would have given me at a discount, but it was like a 1 point something, and I didn't want something that low.
Yeah.
I just, when it gets back beyond below a 3.5, I start questioning, am I going to be happy with this condition?
Yeah, I can understand. So was that his only copy, or did he have like?
Oh, he has another one. This is a dupe.
Yeah.
But he put that under consignment. I think nice. A couple of other things, because my comic shop was there.
Yeah, they were there taking books, not selling books.
I really did want to see, or talk to, or stop and see DeFalco. I wanted to go to the panel, but I did want to see DeFalco and friends, and I had the opportunity, but they didn't have anything on their table for me to buy, or if I would have went up, I would have just said, "Thank you for all your work. I really love this, blah, blah, blah." But I wouldn't have had anything else to say. And I always find those the most awkward.
Yeah. You're like, "Oh, I really like your stuff. Well, thanks."
Yeah. I can't.
And then you're standing there.
Purchase anything. Yeah.
Unless you have a question to ask them.
I forgot all about seeing my artist, Zach, on Sunday. I totally spaced it.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah. He was only going to be there that day, right?
On Sunday, yeah. I totally forgot.
Yeah, so did I.
Yep.
That's a bummer. That would have been cool to see him.
Yep.
No, you intentionally did it because you don't want to face, because you don't want him to ask questions. "Hey, when's that comic?"
Yeah. When is that coming out? I just lazy as fuck. Maybe when I get somebody to do my grass for me. Like my brother is younger than me, and he has somebody doing his grass.
Yeah.
He's got a good deal though. He like pays a yearly fee, and I think it turns out to be like $20 a shot, and they do his front. He doesn't have a lot of grass. But they like clean up the leaves and they do all kind. You know what I mean?
They
keep it clean.
For your yard work. Yeah.
But $20 is cheap. I don't think I could get anything done on my yard for like under 50. It would be more. And truthfully, I don't mind it. It just takes so goddamn long, and it wears me out because of the sun. When I'm out there, Colorado sun is like you're closer to the sun because of the altitude. It beats on you hard.
Well, it's like being closer to the equator.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Well, it's like I feel different here than when I'm like at Heroes because it's like almost sea level over there. You know, like breathing wise and stuff. I feel different. Like I feel like I could go farther and do more and.
Yeah.
Well, when I'm on this at this altitude, I feel different. Like it's different, even though I adjust to it.
Yeah.
All right. So next time, I think we should do at least Savage Dragon, at least.
Yeah, we can do some catch up on some of our series if we want.
I would like to do Void Rivals if you have it.
Sounds like something I would get.
You
Who
might
published it?
that's the Robert Kirkman reveal issue that's
Oh, that's right. Did I get it?
reintroduces the Transformers.
The ship?
It did for me.
Oh, I have to look it up.
You
Hope it's
might
not
get it.
canceled.
You might get it on by the time I get back.
Yeah, it's in my next shipment. It's
Yeah.
pulled. It's been pulled. So I do own it. I just haven't received it.
Yeah, I got a shipment yesterday. I got three weeks worth of books to process into my database. I got
Hey,
so much to do because my parents are gonna be here.
I managed to keep to my budget this month.
What?
I know, hard to believe. I had to make some cuts and a couple things I'm gonna get from Amazon later.
What was the major cut that you didn't want to, that you just made, that
I
you
don't know.
wanted to get?
I have to look at
Do you
my. I
remember?
remember offhand. I just have to look. But there's a couple, like the Tomorrow's book. I'm just gonna order that later from Amazon.
Yeah.
And there any Bushmiller book biography? I'm gonna order that later off Amazon. So I guess I didn't really cut down. I just
I was the
accumulated.
highest, but I had that one rule on collected editions that I would only get the DC Silver Age and Golden Age collections, and they had two Wonder Woman,
Yeah.
one Golden Age and one Silver Age, and a Batman resolicited of the Golden Age, and I have all of them, and I was like, I'm never gonna buy those books. They're just too expensive. And having these collections, I would get, you know.
Yeah,
But
that's
those, it's three
understandable, yeah.
omnibuy that
Yeah,
it killed me.
that's
Like,
gonna kill
but
you
I knew I was
easily.
gonna go to Amazon and pay more, and I'm like, I just gotta pull it. Like, I just have to, 'cause I'm no, on a norm. Like, I've already seen the new catalog. I don't have a physical copy of it, but it's interesting 'cause Image is going to Lunar, and they're not going to be in the previews anymore. So you have to see it at lunardistribution.com. And they have the new magazine out for July for Image.
So
So
are they gonna bring out like a image, a specific one just for image?
yes, but it's also in the catalog. I don't know if you've ever been to lunardistribution.com. Well, I guess you have to if you're gonna look at the DC Connect, right?
They usually just have it on their site on
At the Lunar
DCBS,
site?
not on DCBS.
Oh, well, at Lunar
Under the
Distribution, they have
downloads.
the DC Connect, they have the Image, whatever the new one's called, and then they have the
Okay.
Next Wave, or I forget what they call, but the Image stuff is in the Next Wave and their own book.
I'll have to check it
But they
out.
have like a Jack Kirby reprinting of something in this one, and I'm gonna
What?
have to get that. Yeah.
Who does?
Something I've never heard of. Image.
DC?
No,
Oh,
Image.
Image. Is it
Yeah.
one of their.
It's one of his independent works that I've never heard of.
Oh.
Like, I don't know what
It's a
it is.
collection or.
It is a collection of something.
Oh yeah, image.
It's so nice with my new internet because I can open up these PDFs without having to download them. And they were like, with my internet before, it was horribly slow. And it's cool having this, but let me see what that is. They
It
have
is
a.
Image Catalog July for September. Is that the new one? Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Ooh. So exciting. Hey, why doesn't your download have it? Well, this is probably the first. Is this the first
That's the
issue?
first one, the first issue of Image, yeah.
Wonder if I'll get a physical copy. Are they doing physical copies?
Well, get the interesting thing, they have a Creepshow Volume 2 with a cover A by Gilliam March. It looks weird though, 'cause it's got like a baby and two demons on it. And the story is by Garth Ennis and Phil Hester. So that ought to be a good one. But the one I was talking about was Jack Kirby's Star Warriors, starring Adam Starr and the Solar Legion.
Oh, that's so Kirby.
It's got art by Jack Kirby and Tom Scioli. So I don't know what's up with that.
What?
It's Jack Kirby's like you've never seen him before. Jack Kirby's first cosmic hero in the Space Epic series. I don't know how Tom Scioli's involved, but he is. So it gives some sample pages on there. How much does this sucker cost?
What page is it on? I opened the document. Oh,
It's
there it is.
25.
Star Warriors.
It is 32 pages, so just a regular one. It's
Back in this
expensive.
deluxe
32
remix.
pages, $9.99. That's a lot.
What?
Spot color. But it's a must get for me.
Why is it so expensive?
I don't know. Is Jack Kirby?
It's like pencil art. Weird.
Yeah.
If it's like oversized or something. Doesn't say.
It usually says if it says 32 pages. Oh, you mean size wise?
Yeah, dimensions. Oh, it's the cover is Sholi.
Oh, that's where the Scholli comes
Oh, it does
from.
say, it does also say art. Maybe he like, because yeah, remixed by Tom Scholi, by Jack Kirby, remixed by Tom Scholi. That's interesting. Let's we'll see if he has a video or something where he explains what this is. Oh, there's a new Rat Queens.
Yeah, I saw
Rock
that. It's
Upchurch is
it
back.
actually it actually writes it concludes the series too. It's a one shot.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things. And there's a new Spawn compendium, which is $60.
I gotta decide
We're
if I.
getting clo we're getting close to catching up in these compendiums because they're at 250, and now we're at the 300. So they publish six, it'll get us to issue 300.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Last Barbarians, I swear that was solicited last month.
I don't think so. You'd know more than me because you buy trades. Torrent is offered. That's really good. I don't know if you read that yet. Oh, yeah, we did read it. We covered it on the show. I don't know if you liked it as much as I did. I liked it a
I don't
lot.
remember what I gave that one. Oh, there's a new Matt Hawkins
Yeah, I'm getting
romance book.
that.
It's so weird. So, Image isn't giving me previews anymore.
Yeah, they're not. I don't know what the new previews is gonna look like. Like, no, I think it's gonna be duplicate in both issues for until September.
Oh,
Like,
okay.
I think Lunar can sell it, and Diamond can sell it up until September, and then it's
Okay, so to
exclusive.
give the stores time to switch over.
I think so. But there's a lot of good DC stuff too, so yeah,
This is gonna be a
I wish
tough
I could
month.
find the Marvel. They're not shipping me my DC directs lately, which is odd.
Meaning you're not getting them at
Yeah, I'm
all?
not getting the physical.
Weird. New Savage Dragon.
Yes, resolicited.
Oh. Come on, man. There's one comic that I would wish could keep on a regular schedule. It's Savage Dragon.
Yeah. The guys that did this book, the Image Grand Design, they did a
Yeah.
really good Savage Dragon section. There's the one that by the guy that sold me the book, and he just did like he tied it. The first part of the book is kind of like a grand design, but then the second part of the book they just do like a recap of like the first 150 issues of Savage Dragon. They
Oh.
did a good job
Oh, summarizing it,
of
yeah.
summarizing Savage Dragon. Did a really good job with Shadowhawk, except I don't know why they changed Shadowhawk a little bit because the guy, if I remember correctly, the main Shadowhawk died of AIDS, and
Yeah.
they didn't have him die of AIDS on here. They had him die of the virus that was in that pill that I told you about that they
Oh,
tried to link
okay.
the whole
That
universe
they made up,
together.
yeah.
Matter of fact, that same pill caused the Walking Dead thing to happen in the future.
All right.
Yeah, so it's interesting
They tie it all.
how they
Oh
tie it all
man,
together.
I love the last page of the Image catalog.
What's on the last page?
It
Oh,
says
what's
op
coming out the
has
next month?
it has Optimus Prime and it says next month.
Oh yeah. I am excited to see like what he does with the Hasbro and
Yeah.
how deep they go. I'm really curious to see the Marvel one, but I don't know where to get it at. And
It's
I
probably
haven't
not out
seen it
yet.
on Newsarama because I want to see if the ROM and Micronauts omnibuses are solicited. Because I
Oh.
have to get those. Those are must grabs.
Yeah.
Oh, I completed my run of Godzilla. I got a full run of it.
The Marvel?
Yeah. So
Cool.
that's cool. All
Nice.
right. Well, we have to study these catalogs for next time.
Yes. Yeah, let me know whenever we can record.
Yeah, we could do it off schedule too, if you want to.
That's what I
Just
was
to
gonna
do the
say.
previews, but I want to make sure we have the Marvel one and I have the main previews too.
Yeah, we'll have to wait till they're available.
I how do you how where do you get the main previews from digitally? From Diamond Previews?
No, there's a site I found it on.
You should send me that link to see if they have it.
Okay. They usually put it up late, so they probably won't have it for another week or so.
Okay. 'Cause I want to look at that one. I'm real curious to see what they have left.
Yeah, for sure.
Or if they've picked up any new ones. Because I if you see the diamond the lunar distribution one and you look at their indies, they have at least 20 publishers now, including
Okay. And
AWA and everything.
those ones I'm guessing aren't exclusive, right? So
Not
they'll
exclusive
probably
because
be in
Diamond
both.
could get them. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Geek Brunch Heroes Con Wrap Up 2023. You can find us at geekbrunchpodcast.com and also at Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button and follow all the episode threads there. You can send us tweets at DBM00 or at Mike Myers Brunch and email us at mike@comicbooknoise.com or bill@comicbooknoise.com and we should be back in 2 to 3 weeks, but we might have a
Somewhere
previews
in there.
call in between there. Yeah. All right.
Right,
We'll
sounds
see ya.
good. All right.
Bye. Have a good one, Bill.
You.
Bye.